Blog Talk Radio.
Another episode of the West Texas Pitmasters Barbecue Show on Sunday nights, sponsored by Barbecue Superstars. I'd like to give a shout-out to everybody, and I hope everybody had a good weekend. We had some pretty good contests out this weekend. I'd like to shout-out to Ernest Cervantes, Reserve Grand Champion at Robstown this weekend, and Ronnie Wade was Grand Champion. That was an IBCA event. And so I'd like to give a shout-out to them. And there's just a lot going on this week. And you know, competition started to come up a little bit more, a little bit more. So, you know, it starts warming up some. We'll be good. So, got a little dinner on the smoker still, waiting for it to kind of finish up. And should have a couple of callers in tonight. So hopefully they'll call in here shortly. I'd like to give a shout-out to all of our sponsors. See how we're doing. Just a second. I'd like to give a shout-out to BarbecueSmokerSupply.com and SmokerPlans.net. Frank Cox, he's got of build some heck of smokers. Also got blueprints. It's about anything you need to build a smoker or to have a smoker built, or if you need information on how to build one, blueprint, all that end of it, those are people to get in touch with. He'll fix you up. So, Raider Red Meats, and they're our go-to for our competition meats. We've done real well with them this year. Matter of fact, just to put it out there, we won Team of the Year this year with Oak Ridge Barbecue and their Tier 2 sponsorship. And a big part of that was using Raider Red Meats and Oak Ridge Rubs. So I'd like to give a shout-out also to Mike Trump, Oak Ridge Rubs. Great stuff. I mean, we couldn't have done it without them this year. Got some great products. Y'all can find them at oakridgebarbecue.com. Give them a shout. Pitmaster Depot, Jay and Zach down there, man, they've got a you know, lots of different rubs, spices. I think they've got grills. If you need disposable cutting boards, they've got the cheapest shipping rates out there. Give them a shout, pitmasterdepot.com. GOT Energy Services. Let's give Brandon and Jennifer Spall a shout out and Mike down there for supporting us. Couldn't do it without them either. They're a big part of our team being successful, and let's give them a shout out. Texas Web and Graphic, guys, you see my banners, our business cards, all that type stuff. Paul Lawrence down there, he takes care of it. He's quick, does a great job. I can send him some information. I mean, he can have some whipped up in a few days normally. So does a great job. Find it under TexasWebAndGraphic.com. Big Ron's Rubs, man. Big Ron, he's also, he's got some killer injections, he's got barbecue sauce, he has rubs, he just has a lot going on. Been a big sponsor of us, and give Big Ron a shout. You can find him under BigRonsRubs.com. Meat rate, man, like I said, you know, if you need to rake some meat, you need to pull your pork, you can shred brisket, I mean, just about anything. I mean, pot roast, just, well, you know, whatever. I mean, and like I said, there's lots of other things you probably use them for, too, that I don't even think of. So, meatcrate.com. Give them a shout. Grill Great, Brad Barrett. Man, got some killer products. If you're looking for that infrared consistency on a grill, put you a set of Grill Grates on. They're going to give nice sear marks. It's going to give even heating. Just a great product. He's got some new products out, griddles, tongs, just all kinds of different stuff I know he's got coming out now. So give him a shout. You can find him under grillgrate.com. So with all that, like I said, we'll get the show started tonight. So we're supposed to have one in to talk about FDA tonight. I hadn't heard back from her yet, Angela. And I know that they had a contest down there. I think she was actually cooking with Lori Travis this weekend, too, so the barn goddess. So I'm not sure what's going on, if they made it home or what. I hadn't heard from her yet. We talked earlier in the week. She was going to come on. So, and then Jennifer Campbell, the promoter for the Breast Fest. It's an IBCA contest. Last year we had about 62 teams. It's in Lubbock, Texas. It's a big one. Looking to make it even bigger this year. So it's another great contest. I know they're probably going to be on the road a little bit this evening, too, so we'll wait on them a little while. But, like I said, I know that they had a big contest down in Rothstown this weekend, and to be honest with you, I hadn't even looked at all the different contests and stuff that were going on, and try to pull some of that up here in just a second and see. Like I said, they had, I think, 83 teams or so down there, so they had a pretty good-sized contest. And like I said, Ronnie Wade won it, and Ernest Vontes, he was reserve. I know John Trigg was there, Monty Brown, Trash Can Cookers. So there were several big teams down there cooking this weekend. And let me see if I can pull some of that up here. Give me just a minute here, and we'll see what we can do. But I'd like to get everybody to call in. Let's talk barbecue. We had a really good show last week. Had people call in. We talked about different profiles and stuff. Matter of fact, I had one of the listeners last week send me a message about maybe doing a round table on, you know, brisket, chicken, ribs, pork, differences, you know, in IBCA versus Kansas City Barbecue Society. I'm all for it. I would like to get that kind of scheduled. I know that we've got Western Wood Series coming up. I think that we're going to have Steven next week on that. We're going to talk about that. We'll be down there cooking down there, it looks like. That's the plan right now, to be in the at Holotus, Texas. I've got 150 teams entered right now. We got their space assignments and stuff this week, so it's going to be big. But that's why we kind of like it, too. We like to go to Hunter and hang out with all them boys down in South Texas. I know SNS Pit Crew will be there. Sponsors will be there. Junior Reyes will be down there, I believe. I think John, he's going to try to throw his name in the hat on the deal, John Reeves. So that'll, always be interesting. So I have a lot of big teams down there. A lot of big cookers and stuff like that. And let's see what's going on here. Just pulled up Texas Pitmasters, and let's see if I can find what's going on here. But like I said, everybody needs to call in tonight and call 347-202-0263. Talk barbecue. We'll talk profiles. We'll talk, like I said, you know, what contests are coming up. It don't matter, you know, we can talk different sanctions, FDA, Georgia, you can talk IBCA, Lone Star, KCBS. So we cook KBCS, Lone Star, IBCA. So those are usually the three that we're involved in. And probably cook more IBCA than we do anything. It's always a fun time. Always enjoy it. The Western Wood Series, it's the IBCA contest. So looks like they're going to have, you know, they're filling them up just about every, there's three contests. It's a series. We have 150 teams. So I think it's 450 teams that they'll have total in three contests. So that's pretty big. I think that they posted that they set a new record. I think a payout is over $35,000, so that'll be interesting to see. It's all good. We'll have a good time and get to go down there and cook with a bunch of guys that I don't get to cook with very often. We cook with them a time or two a year. We just don't get down that far. It's about a 7-hour drive for us to go down that far, so we just don't get down that way a lot. But, we'll just have to see how it goes. And, let's see here. I know they've been working on the website on IBCA a little bit more, so let's see if I can find, see if they've posted the results yet, maybe for Robstown. It's hard to believe it's already 2014. already talking, as a matter of fact, I've already had several contests already this year. So, Robstown. As a matter of fact, Robstown is it's the first one of this year, I guess. And it looks like the results are posted. So, let's see here. I'll pull it up. Yes, it is. Okay. All right, they had 83 teams. Like I said, Ronnie Wade was Blazing Barbecue, was Grand Champion. Ernst Montes was Reserve. Looks like Monty Brown, Trash Can Cookers, he had a first in brisket. Ernst Montes had a first in ribs. Mark Ranowski had a first in chicken, so that was your first three scores there. Actually, top 10 overall was, like I said, Ronnie Wade was first, Ernst Bonta was the second, Felix Perez was third, Monty Brown was fourth, Danny Patton, one-man pits, he was five, Craig Sherry, Texas Pepper Jelly, he was number six, Mark Ranowski, Vernon Bush, he was seventh, Birch was eighth. Lars Flores, that's the guy that organizes the South Pitmasters. Matter of fact, he keeps all the scores all year long. Send him out a huge shout out there for tracking all the scores all year for everybody in IBK, so we know what's going on. He does an excellent job, and there's a lot of teams. Matter of fact, I think he follows members and non-members the whole nine yards. And then Mike the Aces, Limp Brisket was number 10 overall. So, like I said, they had a pretty good contest. It was a big contest, and a lot of good teams there. Let's see, like I said, Johnny Trick had a sixth in ribs. He was down there cooking with them. And so that was another one. I had one unclaimed ticket. So I don't know who that was or what that was about. So I think that Ronnie's well on his way again this year for probably another run for the Jack. So I'll do well. I said he was a team of the year again for IBCA. And so I keep in that at least 2 years in a row now. So got a lot going on. He's just been blowing it up. So, but let's see what's going on. Don't have a lot going on in chat room. Chat room is open. I've got one guest in there. 4098, I don't know who that is. Maybe they'll log in here a minute. We'll see who that is. And so we're just waiting on everybody to call in, 347-202-0263. Let me jump over to KCBS, see what we had going on over there this weekend. And I know things are starting to gear up. I know down in the south that they're probably doing a little bit more cooking. I know they're fixing to probably have, I think they're fixing to have their banquet too. I want to say it's actually here in the next couple of weeks. So, I believe it's correct. National Barbecue Association, they'll be having their deal this year at San Marcos. I think it's around the 8th of March or so. So they'll be having their big deal. I know everybody's got a couple of weeks till they get their sauces and rubs and stuff entered in it. And I got an email on it, I think Friday, talking about that. So, well, actually, I'm not showing anything for KCBS yet. The first one was supposed to be January 23rd, and looks like that one got canceled. Tiger Town Pig Festival, Lakeland, Florida. Yeah. I'm not sure. I've never been on. I don't know if you'll be able to tell me. The FBA has a website. I think that they have some contest this weekend. I think that's where they were all cooking down there. So, see what I can pull up on them. I said maybe Angelo will get called in here in a minute. Let's see what's going on here. How sweet it is. Let's see what's this one here. Here's something else that's interesting. Team Unknown, which is sponsored by Oak Ridge Barbecue, they were the Tier 1 Team of the Year for Oak Ridge. And as a matter of fact, they kind of blew everybody out of the water. I believe that was their second year of winning it for Oak Ridge. I think I believe between Tier 1 and Tier 2, there were something like 36 teams or maybe a few more than that that's sponsored by Oak Ridge. And so it's a pretty competitive field. I mean, you have some of the top teams in the nation. Like I said, you got IUB 30 out there. You've got Wildcatters Barbecue. You got Clark's Crew, which was a reserve grand champion this year at American Royal. There's just, like I said, Team Unknown. They're an FBA team. And they have, like I said, they blew it up again this year. And I know they had a lot of calls and stuff. So that's what I was just looking for, to see what's actually the first contest down there they had. I'm trying to, I think it's How Sweet It Is. It's actually the contest this weekend. I was looking for a date on it, but I don't see a date. But, yeah, I believe that this one was this weekend. Grand champion this year was Sweet Smoke Q and Blitzer & Craig Barbecue was reserved. Let's see here. See how many teams they actually had. But they had 41 teams. So, it's the first time I've been on their side, actually. I'm going to have to do a little more looking and learn a little bit more about their side. Like I said, I was kind of hoping to kind of go through that tonight with Angela. So, see what's happening here. It's a pretty neat deal. They've got a pretty nice little website. So, of course, they break it down. There are four categories: chicken, ribs, pork, and brisket. Top 10 announced was, like I said, Sweet Smoke Q was Brand. Blitz and Krieg Barbecue was second. Barbecue Crew was third. Swamp Boys, they were fourth. Budmeisters was fifth. Hot Wetzlers was sixth. Florida Boys was seventh. Cedar Creek Barbecue was eighth. Smoky Dog was nine. Big Papa's Country Kitchen, and they were tenth. And let's see, Unknown Barbecue, they were 15th. Barn Goddess, she was 18th. And let's see who else is in there that I recognize. That's the one I recognize. Go down here and look at some of the top 10s. Yeah, it's kind of all over the place. So glad they had a good time, though. We're glad they had a good turnout. Like I said, it looked like 41 teams turned out. So that was good. So, I said the number to call is 347-202-0263. Let's talk a little barbecue tonight. Everybody call in. I don't know who's all listening out tonight, but everybody call in. Let's talk a little bit. And so I'm going to pull some stuff off the smoker and let it cool off a little bit. It's plenty warm right now. We had a pretty good weekend around here. It was in the 70s here today. So that means we'll probably we'll be freezing again by the end of the week, most likely. And still trying to get all of our stuff ready for the season to gear up and get running and that in too. So that's hard to believe it's already here. I'm glad it's here, but just kind of ready to get it kind of started out there and go. Them bad boys are plenty hot, I'll tell you that. My wife did like an armadillo egg tonight, and so get that jalapeno popper. So that's mine. Stay hot for a little bit. So, wait here in a little while, I can eat a little bit of something. So we don't get a lot of people to call in tonight and stuff, and we may cut this show short tonight. So we don't do that very often, but it's nice outside, and I don't do well talking to myself all night, so... I said, we'll get it out there. Like I said, you know, we had some comments last week about brisket, chicken, and talked about a lot of the differences between IBCA, KCBS, and all that was pretty good. Like I said, we had a really in-depth conversation. Matter of fact, the show went on until, you know, I listened to archives, but it went on until... probably a quarter till 10 last week. So everybody joined in. Everybody had a good time. Like I said, we talked about a lot. So I had a lot of response about that, wanting to do some more stuff like that. We can continue that on tonight too. We can sure do that. Like I said, you know, there's a lot going on. A lot of people trying to get ready. I know a lot of people on Facebook. I noticed was doing practice cooks and stuff like that this weekend. A lot of them have new pits or sold their old pits, and so, you know, they're gearing up and they're trying to find the hot and the cold spots and, you know, how the cookers are cooking. We're in the same boat ourselves. So that's why I've been cooking on ours quite a bit here lately, just to kind of tune it, and it's a reverse flow, so I have tuna plates and stuff now that I'm trying to adjust and get it kind of tuned out. I think we got it pretty close this weekend. I've been shooting some temperatures and stuff on it, and I think I've got it dialed in pretty close. The way it's going right now, this thing has been cooking like hot and fast, so I might not have to stay up all night watch it. I did hook my guru up on it just to see what it would do, and I got about a 4.5 burn out of it says not, so it went pretty well. So you know, we get into a situation where we have to, and we can always pull it out. I use it a lot for catering, just because I like to sleep at night a little bit. You know, during the week when you're working all week and cooking for people all night, where I really use it the most. We have some real bad weather stuff like that. It's always just good. I mean, if you get a rainstorm or something like that before, you know, a lot of people use wool blankets and stuff. I can plug in the fan and I can get by too. So you know, it made a big difference. So Let me refresh the board and make sure the board's working. I know Chadwick's been having some problems with it. Let's see here. See what's going on. Make sure it is working. Everybody's there that's supposed to be there. Had a nice little adult beverage tonight. And, man, it's just it's really quiet tonight. I don't know that I've ever seen it quite this quiet. So, just ran everybody off. Everybody's got a lot going on tonight. Said it's nice outside, so, you know, a lot of people, it's been so cold, so my cat had cabin fever and stuff like that. And said this weekend, I've seen a lot more people out cooking. I've seen one post that it got up to 40 degrees, and they were out cooking a little bit. Like I said, it's in the 70s here the last couple of days, so that's been nice. We had wind this morning, but this afternoon it laid down, and it's almost like springtime right now here. So, like I said, I mean, we'll probably have a cold front sometime this week and knock us back down into the teens or something. So, we got, like I said, we're trying to get everything finished up and done on the new rig. Everything kind of tightened up, tweaked, and set to head to San Antonio here in a couple of weeks, get down there and do some competing, and hopefully maybe have a little bit of luck down there. We'll see. It's going to be a tough field. It's going to be probably one of the toughest contests that you'll see all year. With that many of teams, 150 teams, and just the sheer talent that's down there that's cooking in that. And, you know, every time we go down to South Texas, you know, they cook a little different than we do up in our part of the world. And so, you know, you just have to adjust a little bit and kind of figure out what they're doing. And it's just it's a little different game down that way. We never do quite as well down that way as we do. Well, we always say north of I-20, you know, this guy's up this part of the world. I-20 seems to be the equator, I'll call it. The guys that cook on this side, they do pretty well, and they go down that way. They don't do as well normally. There's a few, like Ronnie. Ronnie's one of the exceptions. He cooks wherever he seems to go. He does well, period. So he's hard to beat. But actually, we can talk about that a little bit. We'll talk about a little bit of Holotus a little bit here. Let me see if I can pull up. I'll just pull up and see who's all actually in that. I don't know if they posted that. I think on Friday, if I can find the link. And see if I can pull that up here real quick. And we'll see. Let me see who's all in there. Like I said, there's a lot of good teams there. So let's see here. It's always fun to find them on the Facebook Western Wood Cook-Off Series. I guess maybe it right here. Yep, here it is. So, let's see who we got. We got Burnt Bean, Ernst Montes, he'll be there. Chilling and Grilling. C&B Barbecue, they're a big team. I believe they're out of the San Angelo area. I know that Jack Wagon Grillers are also going to be there. They're another big San Angelo team. Let's see here. Dry Horse, they're out of Midland area. They're always good team. We compete with them guys quite a bit, Bob and them. Always enjoy cooking around them guys. And always have a good time with them. Let's see here. Giant Barbecue. He'll be there. Another big team. Let's see here. I know Barbecue Addiction. The boys from Pit Makers. They'll be down there, it looks like. Joe's Cook Shack, Jack Wacken Grillers. High Strung Barbecue. Another big team down that way. Junior's Up in Smoke. Let's see here. Yes, we have Mama and Papa Joe's. McBee's Barbecue. Another good team. One Man Pits. Danny's going to be there. Yeah, there's Barbecue Addiction. That's Pit Maker. Let's see here. Yes, we have S&S Pit Crew. Smoking X. The Worms Cooking Team. Oh, Toro Loco, they're going to be down there. Trash Can Cookers. I said there's just there's a ton of good teams in here. And we were looking at the map Friday night. It's someone's going to have a little jog coming down. Well, actually some boys showed up into the chat room a little bit. So maybe some of these boys will call in. So I said it's been kind of dead tonight. Like I said, the number to call is 347-202-0263. Everybody call in. Let's talk some Q. Let's get it going. I think this is as long as everybody's ever let me hang out here. 38 minutes is a long time for me to talk to myself. Talk to you guys. maybe some guys call in here in a minute. We'll talk a little bit. I know Stacy, he's got the Shotgun Fred. It's coming up around the 1st of March. They'll have their big contest down in Huntsville. We're going to try to maybe make it down there to that. We'll just have to see. He was asking me about that day. You know, he was really giving me a hard time after I said that I was ignoring him last week on the show. So we were joking back and forth this week about that. And like I said, we'll just have to see. We got a lot of irons in the fire early on this year for us. So I don't know. We're just trying to figure out how to make it all. And you know, that's a long haul for us down that way. It's about 500 miles, and a lot of it's going to depend on them. Right now, I'm still trying to find a new truck to pull the new rig. So I'm kind of messing with all that stuff right now. And we got the new rig weighed, and it weighed about 9,000 pounds. So it's a little more than what I had planned on, but it's good. It's great. Actually, last night I threw my cot in it. Had the heater on up in here and sit down, lay down on the cot, watch the movie. It's gonna be great. Not gonna suffer like I'm used to near being out sleeping in a lawn chair all night next to the pit. You know, when it got cold, you huddled up. You know, there were some mornings people dang near find me underneath the pit. So that's going to change a little bit. So, all right, well, we do have one caller. I guess someone's going to finally bail me out here. And let's see who we got here. Hold on just a minute. 407-697-4077. You're live. Who do we have?
This is Angela Iverson.
How are you?
I'm doing fine. I just got in from a volleyball tournament It went way longer than I thought because we started at 8 o'clock this morning.
Ooh, well, that means you're probably winning then, or you're playing the other bracket, the bracket we don't like to talk about. So hopefully that was a winning that you were waiting so long there on. So, well, that's good. That's good. I was hoping you got my message. I didn't know if you did or not. And I thought, well, it's been kind of one of those weeks. I mean, there's just been a lot going on. And like I said, everybody kind of had cabin fever there. So I know we jumped out yesterday and kind of went, you guys are down in Florida, so not quite like that for you guys, but up here where we're at and a lot of our friends stuff, I mean, we've been, you know, of course y'all have been cold, but, you know, we've been down in the teens and single digits, and so everybody's been, you know, huddled up to fire and stuff like that, so I think a lot of people got up this weekend, did a little cooking, and
we've already had our second competition of the year, and I just got in with my team yesterday. We, you know, had one down in Fort Pierce, and that was fun. So we're in full force. You can just, you know, get away from that cold weather and come on down to Florida.
Well, you know, I've been trying to get Southwest Airlines, you know, or someone like that, you know, to tote my pit down there for me, and, you know, I'd be on
there
my way.
Go.
I ain't got any takers yet.
Well,
like I said,
I've been trying to get you Texas people over here to Florida because I think you'd have a fun time over here.
Well, I know we would. You know, one of my sponsors is Pitmasters Depot, Zach and Jay down there. Party. And, you know, that's what Zach told me here a while back. He said, come down and cook with us. And I was like, man, I'd love to. He said, man, just fly down here. I'll fix you up. Come down. We'll cook.
Absolutely.
We'll have to work
something out on that.
That's the
great thing about Florida. If you come down here, you know, we will, if there's something you forgot or something that you need, we'll find somebody. There's always somebody who's going to help you out. It's a great thing. We're always inviting people to come down and have a good time with us. And we're just, you know, we're all family. That's how we feel. And, you know, they might tease each other about shigging and stuff, you know, shigging from afar. But, you know, it's all good. We have a good time. And in fact, at the event, we have this tradition where the grand champion always buys pizza for everybody on Saturday night. So so some of the teams, they stayed late. And Jim Elser with Sweet Smoke Q, he won grand champion. There were 41 teams at this one, and Swamp Boys was there, and Dana Hillis with, you know, Big Papa's Country Kitchen was there. So we, you know, we had quite a few big teams. Team Unknown was there, but there was the grand champion had a trophy. It was a big cup. And so Jim Elser, he's known for his pink coma drinks, and so he filled it up with his, I mean, it's just almost all vodka, I'll just be truthful with you. And he had some real potent stuff, I'll tell you, and he took that, and he was passing it around to everybody of legal age. And there's pictures on Facebook if you see it.
Yes, I'm friends with a bunch of them on there, so, yeah, I'll look at that around laughing, because that's what everybody said. They said, man, Richard, that thing was almost full.
I was on my way out, and I came back because I forgot my phone cord because I was trying to get back since we had the volleyball tournament today in my family. But so I get back there, and I was cooking with the Barn Goddess, with Lori Frazee. She does, you know, Blog Talk Radio on another channel another night. And she got second place brisket, by the way. So you'd be really proud of her because I know how big brisket is in Texas. You guys take pride in that. But she,
I was just looking at y'all's results and stuff. I missed that one. I logged into y'all's site earlier, and I was telling everybody that. And I guess I missed the brisket call on her. Yep, there it is.
Well, you better congratulate her because we were although I think that this little boy from Cedar Creek, they got third place. And so, you know, with every call, he kept whittling down. And he's like, he's like, you guys are going first, meaning, you know, they'll be called last, right? And
right.
And he was just giving, he was talking smack to her. It was so funny. I couldn't stop laughing. And she's like, you're going down, little boy, you know. So whatever they got called before us, Lori was going, you know, and he was just letting, you know, it was a good time. But anyway, I went back to get my phone cord, my charger, and Dana Hillis, he's pointing at me, and I'm like, and that's never good. And Lori and Jim and a whole bunch of people were sitting around him, and they're like, come here, come here. Everybody else has been drinking. I'm sober. So I had to tote Lori and Jim Elser down to the pizza shop to pick up all the pizza. So they're like, oh, it's just, you know, just down the road. It's not very far. Well, if you're out in Fort Pierce, the fairgrounds, it's out in the middle of nowhere. And I knew this. I knew it was quite a ways into Fort Pierce. But Lori and Jim are just feeling too good or something, and they're just saying, are you kidnapping us? Where is this place? It's just straight down this road, they said. And I had to pull over because they swore that I was lost. But it was about, I don't know, probably about 7 or 8 miles down the road to get to this pizza place. And they swore that I was, you know, lost. And there was no turn. It was just straight down the road. It was funny. But I won't tell you the rest of the story since you are on the radio and it might embarrass Jim. So, I'll just say that we were glad to get there, get the pizza, and bring it back so everybody could have some. And,
yeah.
And then Jim shared some drinks with everybody.
Yeah, like I said, I told that this morning and on Facebook, and I was laughing about some of it. And it's always good like that. We always have, you know, we do kind of a lot of that kind of stuff too. You know, we'll have good times, stuff like that. And that's the way it is. I mean, you need fellowship and have a good time with everybody and, you know, share.
Absolutely.
So, that's why
everybody does it. Why, you know, I mean, if you're not having a good time, why are you doing it?
That's exactly it. So, no, see, I was looking on there, 41 teams, and another one of the, I'm looking at Jill Sutton and stuff, and I was just telling everybody, too, Team Unknown, sponsored by Oak Ridge Barbecue, like I am.
Right.
And they were Team of the Year this year on Tier 1 for Oak Ridge, second year in a row. And
yep,
they just kind of blew everybody out of the water. And I know that they're pretty high up in it, yeah, I believe.
They were fourth place in Team of the Year, and they didn't even cook as many competitions as everybody else did. They won 5 grand championships.
Yes.
In the FBA. And usually you don't win, you know, we have a lot of really good teams down here, very solid, high competition. They're cooking against each other every week. And we might have 36 competitions in a year. And some of the same guys are out there cooking every competition because, you know, you've got Dana and Rub and you've got Damon Woolley. And Whiskey Bent, and you know, you get a lot of these guys, and
your
scores. You might be in the 190s, 193, and you're still not in the top 10. You know, it's just we were all talking about this, how it is not easy cooking in Florida because of the fact that the scores are you know, there's some really good barbecue, but it makes you sharp, I'll tell you that, and you have a good time. But they have competition. But Team Unknown, What's that?
What is a perfect score with you guys? 200?
It's 10. Yeah, it's 200. So we go, you know, like the judges, we judge to 10, and we don't drop the bottom score.
Okay, and so how many judges do you have? 6?
You have 6. It's you know, it's similar to KCBS, but you have 6 judges and a table captain. You know.
Okay.
Pretty much 1 judge per team, depending on, you know, how many tables you need, that sort of thing. but
and then are they weighted
anyway? There's no
or?
Greenery. What's that?
Okay. Do y'all weight y'all scores or anything? Like with KBCS, you know, they weight them, you know, to where.
Oh yeah. We weight them. I think it's like, 15, 40. Let's see. Appearance is, I think, 15, and then something like that. There's a weighted,
okay.
And then taste and tenderness is close together. I think taste is the highest, and then tenderness
right,
is just below
like
it. Yeah.
Okay. I was
so
just trying to figure out
y'all
scoring here because, you know, I was looking at it, and, you know, 199, so like that, you don't see that as much, you know, on our other side.
Jim
and,
got 199 in chicken. That was really, really good because, I mean, you know, to get that on a table where, now, with the FBA, you know, the reps are very particular. Whenever they bring in the judges, they see how long they've been judging and how active they've been and if they're master, if they're new, and they try to make sure that each blend of table kind of comes out evenly with each other because, you know, you can hit a table and it could be the death of you. It has happened in the past. And so they've been very careful in trying to make sure that those trends are less likely to happen.
Right.
To make sure. But you know, you're talking about a human element of even though we're asking them, okay, this is what's before you. Is this the best spicy sauce you've ever had, or is this the best, ribs or brisket? I mean, is it in that form? Where would you judge it? Because we don't encourage comparative judging. We encourage individualized judging that, you know, you might not be a mustard-based sauce person, which I'm not really. In fact, I don't like a lot of sauce, even though I grew up in Missouri. And I like, it's all about the meat. And so, but if there's a sauce there and it doesn't overpower the meat, I don't judge down on it just because it's not my preference. In fact, I've had some sauces that were amazing that were ones that I normally don't eat, you know. So you gotta keep an open mind about, about what you're judging. But it's a double-blind system, so, you know, the judges don't know which teams and the teams don't know which judges. But they do get their scores. There's a judge number that they never can find out because it's not really tied to anything. It's something that's generated by the computer system. But it shows a judge's number, and so you can see how you did on your table. And sometimes you could have been the highest person on your table and still not walk. You know, it just
sure.
That can happen. So,
I mean, yeah, no, but I've had that in KBCS. You know,
what's that?
I said I've had that in KBCS. I mean, I've won tables and stuff, and yeah, you don't even walk. Yeah, so
it's tough. You know, and there might be times that you're like, oh my gosh, this is the best cook I've ever had, and you get a judge who scores you 8, you know, on the taste,
yep.
And you're like, what happened? You know, that just can't even be happening. But we one of the trends though down here at the Florida Barbecue Association is, you know, if a rep sees, you know, we can't change the scores once they've been recorded by the judges. That integrity has to stay in place. We do protect the integrity of the competition. And so if we see that a judge is, you know, it could be a 2-point spread or a significant number from the average of the table, they'll have a conversation with that judge and have them defend. And even though, like, we require comments below 7.5 because we also record 0.5. Now you can get a 9.5 or an 8.5, but anyway, if it's below the 7.5, they have to specifically say what the issue was. so that it can be passed on to the team. And it's being encouraged more and more now to make comments, good or bad. You know, teams are talking about wanting feedback, but if a judge is so far off from the rest of the judges, they'll be asked why. You know, what is your reasoning? And they encourage discussion with the whole table. They'll have them, they'll in fact, after the cards have already been taken away, they'll have a discussion on that table away from the other ones about what, you know, what they saw and what's going on, you know, what everybody's opinion is. Because we realize, cook teams are out there, you're spending maybe $1,000 that weekend, and it's important to know that you are getting the fairest shot at getting whatever placement, you know, that you deserve, you know. And so it's real important in the Florida Barbecue Association that we keep that integrity up. And that's what we've been striving for, because, you know, the reps are a mixture of, you know, past cooks or judges or, you know, people who've been associated, you know, with the association for a long time. And, you know, we like to see someone winning fair and square.
Sure. No, I mean, I agree. I mean, you know, I do a lot of IBCA here in Texas, and we, you know, we have a double blind judging. We score 1 to 10, but, you know, it's not weighted or anything. I mean, it's, you know, 1 to 10, and then, you know, of course, we have a here. You'll have like a preliminary table, depending on how many teams, and you know, have semifinal and then final tables.
Right.
So our structure is a little bit different too. But, you know, the one thing that we don't do here is, I mean, if you don't place in the top 10, or generally the top 15 technically, because they'll call out final table. So you'll hear, they'll call off the top 10 where they place, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then generally at the end of that, then they'll call out the last five for the final table. So you'll know that you were kind of in it. But after that, you don't know where you're at. I mean, if you're not in those 15 there, not a clue. Now, they score all of those, but it would be, you know, to see all that stuff of it. So that's one thing I do like is, you know, with KBCS, and I do like that you guys there too. I mean, everybody knows where they were at. I mean, they know if they tanked or whatever.
Well, everybody gets a full printout of the scores, and they can see how each judge is assigned a number, so they don't know who it is. You know, FBA, the reps know, but, you know, the teams don't know. But they can see how all the different scores by the six judges that judge them in the different categories. And so I think, you know, I think feedback is good. I mean, you like feedback, don't you, of kind of knowing what's going on. And all of our judges are certified. They go through, and with every – you know, when they begin for that contest, each contest, they go through the rules again. And, you know, there's master judges that are at every table. But there's a mix, like what I was telling you about, because we want people to, the whole thing of being an association is developing, you know, that knowledge and love of smoking, you know, your food is cooking. And that's what we, you know, definitely try to do. And I'll tell you, I've got the bug, I'll admit it. You know, I don't know if I explained to you, but I'm what you call the organizer liaison for the Florida Barbecue Association. And so when somebody's interested in being professional contest being sanctioned, they call me, and I talk them through it. But I'm an event organizer. That's kind of how I got associated with it. A friend of mine started judging, and she's like, "Oh my gosh, you'll never guess what I'm doing!" And she got certified, and she started, and she was doing, you know, FBA is where she started, but she also did KCBS, so she's a judge over there too. And And I'm like, that's it. I got to bring one to my area. And so now in May, I bring my own barbecue competition. But I do other sorts of events around this area. And so Tony Wolf, who's our president, I was talking with him, and I said, hey, you know, if you have any event organizers out there who like to brainstorm or need some assistance, I'm happy to help because that's what I do. And so he's like, hey, I got a job for you. So you got to be careful about opening your mouth up.
Yes, I
understand
that one.
Yes. It's been a lot of fun. I'll tell you, we've got some new contests that are coming up, and I'm real excited about working with them and, you know, giving them ideas about the contests. And, you know, some people will have, like, a Apopka. I don't know if you've heard of that event here. It was an old, it's the outdoor festival there in Apopka, and it's been around for a long time. They just added the contest to it, and, you know, the city, they set up a beautiful venue for the contest, adding all sorts of space and all the logistics with the water and the power, and the teams just love it. Plus, they give you free beer, so why wouldn't you love that, right?
Yeah.
But they have a good time out there, and now I've heard that their purse is up $28,000. The grand champion gets $10,000, and the region, the reserve grand champion gets $5,000. So it's a contest that it fills up really fast. I think they're almost full now, but they may still be, you know, accepting some registrations. But it's a good time out there, guaranteed. And then there's ones like mine that we create a festival, an event, and we add the contest, and it's all centered around barbecue. And when people come, that's what they're looking for. They're looking for barbecue. And in my event, I'm in Central Florida, just out north of Orlando. And usually if you start a first-time event around here, you're doing good if you get 10 to 15,000, you know, throughout your day. We got over 20,000. And we're expecting well over 30,000. And we, all of FBA's contests are qualifiers for the American Royal Invitational. But we also have most of our contests are Jack qualifiers too, which a lot of people are interested in. And then on top of that, we've got a few of them that work with the World Food Championships. And so my contest in Apopka and a few others are also, you get a golden ticket, and you can go out to Vegas. And everybody just loves going out there. So we have a lot going on down here, I'll tell you.
Sounds like it. No, I mean, those are always good. You know, one of my friends won a ticket to the World Food Champion for the bacon category this year.
Oh, right. Cool.
So, and then there's another team that Ultimate Tailgaters. He's on the he's taking over Monday nights on Barbecue Superstars. He was out there. He cooked in the World Food Championship too. So,
nice.
Yeah, there's a few of them. So,
I was thinking about adding some of those other categories. Because I was told that if you have that designation, you can do more than just barbecue. I just did barbecue this past year. I had no idea that I could do the other categories, and I love to do that.
Yeah, some of them are doing the bacon. Some of them, I think there's a dessert category that I think that I've heard at barbecue competitions. I guess those are probably the three that I've heard at a barbecue competition: dessert, barbecue, and bacon. Category
right.
Is what I've seen most of. So.
But they have, I think, isn't like hamburger one of them? And
yeah, I mean, I'll
seven.
Tell you, I think, yeah, there's like seven categories or something, I believe.
Yeah.
I'm
really thinking about opening it up and opening it up to the public to see if anybody's interested, because although I have a lot of teams that, like the Barn Goddess, she enters so many recipe contests and cooking, and she's always winning things. And, in fact, she hasn't told me yet if she won that darn pink Traeger pig yet, because she was running for that.
Yeah.
And I've seen one of those, and I'm like, Now, she invited me to come, you know, cook with her. I was cooking with Team Unknown this past year, and Papa Clark took me under his wing, taught me chicken, so that was a lot of fun. And I got to listen to Dorsey sing, if you know about him. And Dorsey's going to be singing at my contest. He's going to open up for my Friday night act. But Lori, she's like, you know, would you like to come cook with me? And I'm like, sure, I'd love to, because she's a former ag teacher, and she knows so much about different techniques, and she can explain the heck out of meat. I mean, and you can tell she was a former teacher, so she's really good and patient, you know.
What kind of teacher was she?
She was an ag teacher.
An ag teacher?
Yeah. She's a certified ag teacher. And she,
I didn't know that about her.
She tells me stuff about chemistry and how things, whenever you're cooking and different, why certain things work and chemicals and with the meats. And I'm just like, this is probably way more than anybody thinks about, you know. She's like a food chemist or something. I don't know. It cracks me up. But she's incredible. She knows. She's a woodworker. She used to own a sawmill. I mean, there's a lot of things that I keep learning about her that's incredible. So, who knows what kind of skills that I'll end up with by the time I'm done with her?
I majored in ag when I was in high school. I think by my senior year, I had probably six prices of ag a day.
Woo! Well, then you must know your meat and stuff, right?
My ag teacher was also one of those meat judges, and so, yes, I spent a lot of time. I was always kind of the filling guy for some of it. I judged horses and stuff like that was my big categories, but always filled in and always worked out with the meat judging team quite a bit, so, yes. And I grew up, we grew up hunting and then butchering, and we butchered all our own meat, you know, until... you know, I was like a teenager. And so, you know, yes, I mean, I grew up around it, and that's been kind of part of my, you know, we always cooked as family and stuff like that, too. So that's where a lot of mine come from, too.
Do you think that knowledge helps you, like whenever you're building your box and you're working with the meat, do you find that your knowledge of the meat kind of comes out in the way that you build your boxes?
Yeah, I mean, I do. And, you know, of course, you know, our box is probably a lot like y'all's in Texas, you know, because we don't garnish either over here, you know.
Wow.
And so it's a meat contest. And, you know, and so, I mean, it's, you know, everything, I mean, you have to make that meat look good. And, I mean,
right.
Yes, I think that,
but you can,
you know,
tell
that
the
does
difference, though. Like, you could probably look at a box and you could probably tell if somebody is new at this, you know, and doesn't quite understand the meat and how to work with it and the different parts of it, I imagine.
Well, but yes, and I mean, but, you know, of course, you know, here in Texas, and here's the funny thing about Texas is that, you know, we do pork spare ribs. Now, we can St. Louis them. And that's what you usually see. If you got someone that knew stuff that don't know about St. Louis thing or don't know how to do that, you know, they'll turn in a full rib. And, I mean, that's legal. I mean, they don't have to cut them down in St. Louis, but you know how it is. I mean, they're going to look better in the box.
Not as pretty, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And so everybody, you know, most of your veteran teams are going to St. Louis, their ribs. You know, and then, you know, brisket, same thing. And, I mean, it happens to me every now and then, too. But in Texas, we have to trim our meat before we cook it because – after it's cooked, we can't trim the sides and stuff off of it. So if you end up with a long slice of brisket, you've got to wrap it around in the box.
Right.
And I've had some of those. I mean, I've had some that, you know, I trimmed up, and I thought it would be perfectly good, and you get in there and you get to slicing it, and it's just one of those that, the way that the grain ran, it ran from the end of the flat all the way up to the point, you know,
right.
And you still end up with a long slice, but, you know, for the most part, you know, you can kind of tell on that kind of stuff, too. You know, you'll have guys that didn't know how to trim them up and that end of it, separate them, and, you know,
right.
They got a lot of fat stuff on them. You know, some of the other little things like that. And then chicken, of course, chicken's kind of an easy thing. As far as I'm concerned, as far as it is, I mean, could we do
that?
Well,
it's faster to cook, but trimming, just because I learned a lot about chicken from Papa Clark. He's the patriarch, you know, there for Team Unknown. And
right.
It takes, you know, we would do maybe 16 to 18 pieces, you know, for competition, because we have to turn in 8 pieces,
right.
8
okay.
portions. And it would take about 3 hours to trim it properly.
Yes. Now, I mean, if you're doing KBCS or you know, even for stuff like that where you guys are cooking pieces and stuff like that, that is correct. In Texas, we cook half chickens.
Oh,
so
okay.
So you split the chickens down. And, I mean, of course, you know, I usually cut his butt off there. And but everything else, I mean, like IBCA, it had to be a fully jointed chicken, including it has to have the wingtip. A lot of people don't know what that wingtip is or where it's even at or if they even have a wingtip. And so we get
right.
in that. But what happens is I guess what happened early on back when the IBCA formed, which was like in 1989, there was some of that that went on that they clipped that wingtip and then it would mark a box. And it was such a little thing that, you know, most people wouldn't notice it. But so in IBCA, the wingtip has to be there.
Okay.
So you got to have wingtip, wing.
Well, you know,
thigh.
I guess technically they could turn in maybe a half chicken. I mean, but the only thing is that you have to have portions. So
right.
They would have to have, how would you fit 8 of those in a box?
That's
what
the whole thing there.
That's what we would be looking at, you know.
Right. And that's the deal. Now, see, in Texas, they use a fork and a knife, and they cut pieces off of all of their meats. I mean, they don't. The judge does not actually physically touch any of our meats.
Right.
So brisket, chicken, ribs, all that. They're going to cut a piece off with a fork and a knife, and that's how they get away with it because they can cut a portion. You know, they'll cut a slice of breast.
So you don't
cut or slice your
brisket.
Yes, you slice brisket. Depending on the number, if you have less than 50 teams, you'll do 7 slices of brisket. They have to be between 1/4 and 3/8 of an inch thick. Nothing
so,
narrower
so
than that.
So every judge gets a bite? Is that how you guys do it?
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, theoretically, you know, but like I said, you know, you had preliminary and final tables and stuff like that. So you,
okay.
if you have over 50 teams, then they're going to do 9 slices. But you can look in most of the boxes because you can actually go up and look in the boxes afterwards. They're sitting there.
Okay.
So after the contest, you can see, you can even taste them if you'd like. And I have once or twice. But, you know, you can walk up there, and, I mean, generally, you know, there'll be about half the brisket, you know, gone or, you know, same thing with the chicken, stuff like that. Now, chicken, if we do more than 50 teams, you do 2 half chickens. If it's under 50 teams, you do 1. Same thing with ribs. If it's 50 teams and under, you're going to have 7 ribs. If you do 50 teams over, then you're going to have 9 ribs. And they'll be sliced, too. And you can Hollywood cut them. You can just you can kind of do whatever you want to on that end of it, too. So now you can't run 2 bones. But yeah, I mean, you could do a Hollywood cut or something like that on them if you'd like. And, I mean, that's legal.
Well, for the FBA, I was telling you how, you know, like your chicken, you would present just 1 box with those portions, and
right.
and it would hit the table, but it only hits that table. The refs make sure that your table, that your meat doesn't, or your team doesn't hit a table more than once. So like your chicken might be at table 1. And your brisket might be at table 3, and, you know, it's all different tables, different judges,
right.
because they feel like it's important to have to rotate and keep that mix going. Even though they, you know, again, they try to make sure that the judging is consistent and there's not any big variations, and making sure that the judging experience is equal on each of the tables. as much as humanly possible, you know, on that. But because we don't have the, you know, the different preliminaries and eliminations and stuff like what you guys have. But what happens is the judges can opt to graze. And sometimes the organizers, because they do a lot of fundraisers, and you might do this in IBCA, but sometimes the organizers will take a few boxes to feed their volunteers who come in and help with the festival and the contest. Otherwise, the judges, part of their reward is to come and they'll, you know, graze on it, and they'll take some of that barbecue home with them, and they just love that. They'll come in and they'll have their coolers and they'll get to take some of that home. And so that's kind of, I guess, like I said, that's kind of their reward. Now, some of us, like me, I love cooking it at home. I've got a little offset smoker, just a little small one. And I'm always posting something online because I love it. But you know what I'm interested in? I'm very interested in coming to Texas and seeing how you guys fix your brisket, because that's one meat that I personally have not tackled yet. And who better to learn it from than from the Texas people themselves, right?
There you go. You know, that's what everybody, you know, that's what we're going for, is brisket. I mean, everybody wants to know about brisket. I mean, you know, when I do the show and stuff, that is probably the most asked thing about, you know, Texas is brisket. And, you know, brisket, it's even different in Texas, you know, in different areas. In fact,
yeah.
I mean, if you ever watch, like, Pitmaster,
that's true, because in Missouri we like our burnt ends, but I know that brisket is in Texas, from my understanding, is that you're really about the meat. You're not, you know, wanting to cover that up. In some places, sometimes the meat gets masked by either the seasonings or the sauce. But you guys are real, you know, salt, pepper, and whatever magic things that you might do, wave your wand over it. But it's really about bringing out the qualities of a good brisket. And as a person, now, I grew up in Southwest Missouri and had good brisket, but I never made it myself. But I know what good brisket can taste like. I've also tasted some really bad brisket, you know. And I'm not saying that pot roast is bad, but I honestly, for me, after I've tasted some of these, and like Dorsey, who is the brisket person on Team Unknown, he's very much, you know, that same kind of style, making sure that the meat speaks for itself. And I just want it to melt in my mouth. But, you know, it just takes such a long time. And it's really, in my mind, it just seems like it's real easy to kind of mess up if you don't have a good system that you're you know, working with. So that's why taken it on.
You know, and it, you know, the one thing about brisket is, I mean, and it can even vary. I mean, you know, it's like chicken. I mean, you know, I'm pretty much a time cooker on chicken. I mean, I know when I put it in, you know, according to my size and stuff like that, I mean, I kind of know where it's going to be. And, you know, so I don't do a lot of temping and stuff like that, because it's all time. And, you know, for the most part, you know, even like ribs and pork, I mean, you know, for the most part, most of my stuff is time. I mean, I will probe my butts or something like that every now and then, just kind of see where they're at. And, you know, you may have one hang a little bit. You know, brisket, I don't know, brisket's kind of different. I mean, you know, I've had them where, you know, they're good and they're perfectly tender at 190 degrees. And then I've had them to where you've taken them to 205 to get that same consistency.
That's what I heard from a couple of people. It wasn't this past weekend, but the weekend before, there was a couple that was saying on their brisket was still pretty tight.
Yep.
That they couldn't get it to loosen up until it hit 207. And so
yep.
they were doing it by feel. I imagine you being an experienced cook, you probably do that too. You're feeling it and waiting for it
to loosen
up. I'm
feeling it. I am
up.
Temping it too, but, you know, and the temping more than anything for me is just a, it's just kind of a reference. But, yeah, I mean, feel is very important. And, you know, I had one that hung at the IBCA championship this year. It thing hung at about, oh, it hung about 192, and, I mean, it just stalled. And it still felt, you know, it, to me, it still felt just a little tight. And, you know, I finally, I just about ran out of time. I mean, I looked down to the wire, I sliced it, turned it in. And I sliced it. I felt a little bit better about it, but you know how it is. I mean, it's going to sit there for a little bit, and it's going to tighten back up some. And I thought, yeah, I'm probably done on this today. And, you know, out of almost 90 teams, I think it was an 11th place brisket. So, you know, that day, and over here too, sometimes they'll go to like 15 places and pay out. So, you know, it was a $450
nice.
Brisket for me that day. You know, it was a good day.
Wow.
But, you know,
that's
I was sitting at the desk. You know, I was sitting there thinking, man, that day, you know what I'm saying? It needed a little bit more. And that's probably the difference of you know, not going up any higher than that was because, you know, it needed to be a little bit looser. You know, flavor profile and all that, I mean, I was pretty good on. You know, I just wanted it to, it's what you said, kind of melt in your mouth. I wanted to break down just a little bit more.
Right.
And, but, you know, and that's kind of the other part over here, too, is we're out in West Texas, so we're more of a, like a semi-arid area.
Right.
And so we don't have a lot of humidity.
I lived in San Antonio for a couple of years, but you're out
okay.
farther than that, aren't you?
Oh, yeah. I'm 7 hours from San Antonio.
Oh, well, phew. San Antonio is kind of in the middle, so yeah. So you're way out there. I know now.
So,
I travel a lot
you know,
there.
Yeah, and so we were cooking in Dallas, you know, which is, you know, it's about 5 hours for us.
And
it's
humid.
But, you know,
it's
a lot.
It's very humid
yes.
in the summer.
Oh, we're humid, yes. And so things, you know, change, you know. And that's where the brisket was. I mean, that brisket was cooking fast. I mean, it cooked fast all the way up to about 192, 193, and then it just hung up. And I was like, you stinking thing. And, you know, I'm sitting there thinking, I was kind of worried about it all day, you know, having to sit around for a while. And,
wow.
Of course, I like to wrestle for a couple of hours, but,
yeah.
you know, and then the stupid thing hung up, and then, you know, I'm on the other side of it going, God dang you, stinking brisket.
Isn't that interesting?
It is.
You know, I didn't even think about that because, you know, Texas, I don't think, unless you live there or you've been through there, really understand the size, you know, that you can spend actually 7 hours driving in one state. But it's so true because, you know, I've driven down to, you know, Padre Island and then all the way up. And it's like, well, if you're not pulled over and checked because there's
yeah.
these checkpoints, then I mean, that will take even longer. But it's so big. But there's also, like, I mean, you've got Galveston, Houston, Dallas is just so wet and humid. And then San Antonio can actually have, you know, humid days and then very dry days. And when I lived there,
yeah.
I had never known so many days over 100 degrees. And I actually had to learn how to wear shoes. The sidewalks were too hot to walk
mm-hmm.
on in the summertime. But then there's you guys, and you're even, like you said, you're arid. So, yeah, I mean, with that kind of climate change, that's going to change the way that you cook. And I, you know, I wasn't even thinking about it, but, yeah, that would be kind of wild for you guys. To see in Florida, I mean, right now it's been kind of damp, which is weird because the summertime, I mean, the wintertime is very dry usually.
Right.
And I got chilled in Fort Pierce. I was sleeping outside next to the fire in my chair, my anti-gravity chair. But I got chilled because it was so moist. And but, you know, the difference between the moisture in the air and it being dry is definitely going to affect how your cook's going to go. Although
yep.
some people will cook you know, like Myron Mixon, he always cooks with a lot of, you know, with the water and the moisture in his cooker. And so I don't know how much it would affect someone cooking like that. But, yeah, you guys have a big difference. So how much, you know, you said it was cooking faster. So how much time do you think it affected you by?
Hey, Pi, you know, I said, you know, up until where we hung up, I mean, you know, I was going on like a 6 or 7 hour cook on a brisket, and, you know, that's pretty fast for me because I'm normally about 10 hours, you know, somewhere in that range for me, 10 to 12, you know, so,
wow.
You know, it's, and like I said, it hung up, and then, you know, like I said, you know, before I know it, you know, I was down to the last hour, and, you know, I finally had to, you know, do my doctoring and then, you know, get it sliced and stuff. And so I didn't normally have my resting and stuff like I normally would with it. And I was pretty nervous about it. And, you know, so, and you know, it is one of, do what?
Well, you know, I told you, Lori got second place on her brisket this past weekend. And she just, and she had so many challenges. She had two briskets, but she did two different flavor profiles, believe it or not. And she went where she picked them up. They had cut, one of them was cut all the way down and in a really bad spot. And so it really narrowed. She had a 19-inch brisket, but it narrowed it really just to usable 5 inches is what she had to work with. So you're hoping that that's going to work out well for you. So she's got two different flavor profiles. She can't use as much of the brisket, you know, in that bigger part. You know, once you get the point off, if there's still sometimes a thicker portion on there and that you want to try to use. And so she's like, oh, man, I just don't know what I'm going to do. And I don't know, I think she just took a little wand, her magic brisket wand, and she waved it around a few times. And, you know, we were trying both of them, and she picked the one, you know, we're like, oh, yeah, this is the one. It was really good. But she had to get real creative in her presentation. And because she's really good with her creativity and her meat and stuff, she did it. I mean, she was really a beautiful box, and I hope that she might post it sometime for you guys. But it's all of these things. She's like, you know, she just really doesn't. She was thinking, I just don't know. And I said, no, this is a great box. And I told her that her strong point was brisket, and we just could not stop jumping up and down. We were just two silly little schoolgirls jumping around. And she got second place brisket, and so you just never know those times where you're sweating it and you're going into, you know, an hour from turn-in time and it's not doing what it's supposed to, and you think, oh, my gosh, this is probably the worst thing I've had happen to me. And then you get, you know, then you walk, and you're like, hey, what happened, you know?
Yeah, no, I mean, that's exactly it. I mean, it's like, okay, you're sweating bullets, you're in it. And, I mean, you know, and you get into the championships, stuff like that, and, I mean, you know, things are just not going right, and you're going, you son of a gun. And, I mean, you know, you're sitting there, and, I mean, you're not even expecting it. I mean, you know, when and, you know, for us, I mean, we have you know, some really good teams over here. You know, we have a man named Ronnie Wade, and I talk about him a lot. He's the number one cook in IMCA, and he was third overall at the Jack Daniels this year.
Awesome.
So, I mean, he's a hell of a cook. And, you know, we're sitting there, and I mean, last year, his wife also cooked. Last year, he was grand, and his wife was reserve at the IBC Championship.
Oh, my gosh, and, that's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, they're stout. I mean, they're hard to beat. And they called him 15th place in brisket. And, you know, there's several of us looking around like, okay, what the heck's going on here today? And because
what
I mean
happened?
That's yeah, I mean that's like his category, and I mean that's kind of like in his backyard there, you know. And we're kind of looking around at each other like, what the hell just happened here? It's like, oh, this is gonna be rough. you know, and then there was a few of us that walked, 15. You know, it's like, yeah, you know, it's like, okay, hell,
well, that's
maybe
what
he
happens.
Had a bad day.
Well, we usually, the teams that always get walks, you know, is, you know, Sweet Smoke Q, Jim Elser, Dana Hillis, Pop, you know, Big Papa's, Rub, Swamp Boys, and Team Unknown, those guys. And if they don't get walks, you know, or something's wrong, if they're not placing, we're like, what the hey, what happened? Because those guys are pretty consistent, you know, on their cooks. And that's what's really cool when you see teams that are so consistent, because consistency is the hardest thing in this sport, I think.
Absolutely.
Because you have so many variables that you know, you can't control. And but I think that's the thrill of it. You know, you got to be willing to take that chance and go for it, and it's exciting. You know, what's going to happen whenever comes time for the award ceremony. We always get excited. I mean, we've had some new teams. I think there's some a team that this was their second time to ever cook professionally, and you know, in a contest, and they got some walks, and they got good walks. And we were just jumping up and down, because it's exciting to see something like that, you know. But although I know ultimately, if you're cooking, you want to hear your name.
Well, absolutely. I mean, you know, that's it. I mean, that's our competitive side of that, is that,
right.
You know, we sit there and, you know, like I said, I mean, that's kind of the thing with IBCA, is that, you know, if you're not in the top 10, 15, you don't have a clue. You're just sitting out there in la-la land under, like, well, was it really bad today, or, you know, what happened here? And, you know, it didn't happen. I mean, you know, I've had a few contests like that, and, I mean, you know, it'll kill you. And, you know, when we started, we got lucky. You know, we cooked, like, our second contest, we had a walk, and, you know, that kind of started it off for us. And, you know, kind of, and that's part of it is, too, is that, you know, that gives you some confidence. And, you know, I think that's a lot of it to do with it, too, is that, you know, there's lots of great cooks and stuff out there, but sometimes, you know, they lose all their confidence, you know, and so, you know, they may just start changing everything. They're shooting all over the place trying to figure it out. But, you know, you start seeing that, and that's what I do like about being able to see all of your scores, you know, throughout it. I mean, it'll give you an idea kind of where you're at, where us, I mean, you know, it could have been a just bad day of judges. It could have been that your food did suck. I mean, you know, there's so many different things. There's so many emotions that goes through that, because, you know, our first contest, there were 65 teams at the Texas State Championship. And nothing. I mean, we didn't final table. We weren't DQ'd. We weren't final tabled. And, you know, we weren't in the top 10.
Right.
Did anything. And it's like, okay, wow. So you go to the next contest. Now what do you do?
Right.
You know, do
well, you know, that's
work?
A good question that you asked that, because, and that was a question I had for Papa Clark Whitcomb. I said, okay, you know, he had been trying some things, and he's like, you know, it's not hitting anymore, my chicken, because he was getting top five in his chicken, and then it stopped hitting, and he wasn't doing anything different, and so, you know, I was tasting his chicken, and I don't want to tell him what to do, my gosh, what do I know, but, you know, I'm a judge, and I have flavor, I have taste buds, and, you know, I keep saying I'm a Missouri girl, but we love our barbecue in Missouri. We're pretty picky about our, you know, barbecue. And so in trying it, it was like, okay, well, you know, maybe we try XYZ, you know, some things. And I gave, and so he kind of let me give some ideas, and he bounced some ideas off of me. And so he changed it up. And sure enough, we were down in Naples, and he got 6 plates. And so he told me, he said, you know, when I first started cooking, because if something doesn't hit, you know, I give it three times, three contests. And if it still doesn't hit within those three contests, then I start considering making a change. And he'll do some test cooks. And, you know, you probably try different things at home to see if you might like it and kind of have different people try it and that sort of thing.
Yep.
But
absolutely.
So that's kind of, you know, I'm not really for sure what everybody's philosophy. Like, how many times do you let it go to a contest before you change it? Because, you know, because of the different judges and you know, you have different areas that you go to, you never know what, why the reason why it might not hit. But it, you know, when do, and I guess every team has to kind of determine, you know, what they're going to do.
Say our judges for IBCA, and here's another unique difference. Our judges are all off the street. We don't have any certified judges. So every contest you go to, we have a.
So where do you get your judges from?
Literally off the street. I mean, generally the promoters will announce, and you know, in the town or whatever, they need judges for the competition, and so the local people will come out and judge. Now, you may have a few that, you know, hit here and there that, you know, have done it, you know, several times, something like that. But for most part, it's just public people coming out and judging your barbecue. And so your head judge is the only one that has any training normally, you know. And one thing that that does happen, and I've seen it happen in KVCS, and one thing I'm not a fan about is that, you know, you end up in a small town, little contest, and, you know, they don't have, so technically, if you're not the head judge, then you can go in and you can judge. Now, you're not supposed to judge the final table. But I do not like that, and that's something that I'm very, very much against.
Right.
Like I said, and I even experienced it in KBTS.
Well, we have certified judges, and even if, like in Lake City, we were down quite a few judges, but what happened is we had to absorb it into the judges and kind of like create an extra table, but put the judges over on that extra table to do the other teams because
so
they won't
like,
they won't,
you know,
pull people off the street. So
now, ours are off the street now, and that's the funny part about it is that, you know, even if I cook KBCS, I cook Lone Star, I cook IBCA or whatever, you know, our flavor profiles seem to work even with certified judges, uncertified judges, blah, blah, blah. That is the unique thing about that, and it's kind of a funny thing about that is because, you know, I'll never forget, you know, that's all I had done was cooked in the IBCA. And my first competition I ever jumped into KBCS was actually a Sam's Club challenge.
Right.
And, I mean, I've never cooked KBCS before, you know, period. And, you know, blah, blah. You know, we had a couple of hits. And it's, like, interesting. And, you know.
Yeah, that's good, though. So,
but, you know, so.
That, I mean, the teams don't have a problem with you just bringing, it's kind of like we have something called the People's Choice contest, and it's not part of the main contest, but it's like an auxiliary type of contest, and it is, usually it's pulled pork, but, you know, I think there have been some contests that have been ribs or something like that, but it's a People's Choice, and it's up to the organizer what they want to, what meat to use. That they'll provide a pork butt for the teams to cook, and you can sauce it or not. It's whatever you think.
Mm-hmm.
And then usually they'll sell tickets for you to go through. Now, I had 24 teams that participated in mine here in Oviedo, and people were getting full by the 24th because evidently my volunteers put a little more than just a bite.
So,
in the samples, but it was a big hit and very popular, you know, to people. And so the public could come in and sample some of the barbecue. For the rest of the contest, it was, you know, certified judges.
Right.
And in fact, I know there's a lot of teams that had said, you know, that they would get kind of pissed off if they were not judged by certified judges. And then there's some of them that say, hey, I like the people's choice because I feel like, you know, that's a better representation of what people in general like. And
that is, I mean, there's a give and the take there. I mean, because you're absolutely right about it. The one thing about it, it's bringing just people off the street that they, you know, for the most part, they don't proclaim to be an expert. You know, they're wanting to go in and eat good barbecue. So,
right.
You know, most of them don't have any tie to anybody or anything like that. So it's a very unbiased thing. And, you know, because you get into the situation sometimes, and, I mean, it's not a lot, but, I mean, you know, from time to time, you get into situations where, you know, it's like we're talking about Judge's Honor. I mean, you've got the guys that think, well, you know, I know everything there is about barbecue, and, you know, I'm going to be a real hard-ass, you know, judge, blah, blah, blah. And then you got, you know, you got people that shoot the average, and then, you, of course, then you got the people that just think everything's good, and, you know, you got high scores everywhere, and I mean, and that happens in all of them.
Right.
But you know, it is kind of funny that there is a kind of a natural balance in there. Even you talk about the certified judge thing versus the people off the street, stuff like that. They all seem to have a kind of a common functionality because you know the people off the street, the eating barbecue at most restaurants and stuff like that. Okay. Most of them have never had injected briskets and. You know, all that kind of thing.
Right. Well, and a lot of them like ribs that fall off the bone, which
absolutely
are technically in professional barbecue is overcooked. But they
there
like that, and that's the way the restaurant cater to the public, you know.
But see, in IBCA, you've got to go a little bit further on that because you're cutting with a knife and a fork. So you
yeah,
do purposely overcook them a little bit. And there's a fine line there. But you have to you cook them a little bit further than what you guys would be doing if you're picking it up and eating it off the bone, because you can tell the resistance within the knife. So you know that's the thing, and I mean it may not be but about 5 degrees difference, and I mean and you can do the same thing too. I mean you can even in IBC overcook the rib, or
right.
You know brisket or whatever. But you know it's funny that you know, and I'd love to see a contest. To where you had like a 50-50 mix. And just to see what the result was, because I've seen it the other way. I mean, I've seen it where, you know, there were a KBCS contest. Matter of fact, they only had like 20% certified judges judge it.
Right.
So, you know, that's, and seeing that's kind of a funny thing because here in Texas, we don't do a lot of KBCS. So, we don't deal a lot with pork and stuff like that.
Yeah, we don't have a lot down here in Florida either. There's not
you
a
know,
lot
and so, you know, that kind of changes. And, you know, you're cooking chicken thighs, you know what I'm saying? I mean, so, you know, just the menu is a little different. And burn-ins, you know, all that kind of stuff. And, you know, of course, you know, they could have baby backs and stuff like that. And there's just so many different variables that, you know, a lot of people in Texas don't deal with. And so it's always kind of funny to see that stuff when it kind of comes and to see how it is. One thing I learned this year about IBCA that I didn't know about was that technically in the IBCA books, pork is on the – it's in the categories. And so as long as you include it as being part of the Grand Champion, not a jackpot. See, we have jackpot cook-offs, kind of like what you're talking about, people's choice, stuff like that.
Okay.
Then we do the pulled pork thing, and it actually counts for points and stuff. But we do jackpots, and so, in other words, just like what you said, I mean, and a lot of times pork is a pretty popular one, so I'll do a pork category, jackpot, be $25, you know, and then, you know, it may be, you know, depending on how many teams you have, it may be a 70-30 split between first and second or, you know, just whatever. Other big category in Texas is beans.
Beans?
Just about every contest has a bean competition.
That's very interesting. I did not know that. I learned something new.
Yes.
What kind of beans?
Pinto beans. You have to start off at the contest. A lot of them, they'll inspect it. You have to start out with a dry pinto bean, and then, you know, you soak it, you do whatever you're going to do to it. And, you know, and that's generally our first turn-in. If there's a bean contest, that's usually our first turn-in. It's going to be 10, 11 o'clock in the morning, you're turning beans.
Maybe I should try that this year. How do you think it would go?
Well, I don't know, because I'll tell you this. You know, I'm technically from New Mexico.
Okay.
That's where I was born and raised. I moved over here about, close 20 years ago. Now, I lived in a lot of eastern New Mexico, so like that, so everybody always thought I was from Texas to begin with. So, you know, it wasn't really hard for me to come, you know, inland just a little bit, per se. And so, you know, we have very good Mexican food from where I come from. And we cook a lot of beans. Pinto beans and cornbread is a staple of where I come from.
Oh, and well, it is like, where I come from, too, but probably has different spices, I imagine.
Right. And so I'm thinking, you know, hey, man, this may be our category. Shoot, first, like 8 or 9 months, I mean, I got my butt handed to me time and time again. And I was like, okay, I don't know what you guys want from me. And I just gave up. And my wife and daughter was with me at one contest, and my brother-in-law normally runs with me, wasn't there. And so they were sitting in the motel. It was kind of a nasty weekend. And so I was sitting there, and I was born, and I always, you know, always had a bag of pinto beans. I went there and paid my $10, and said, ah, heck, I'll cook beans. And I just kind of whipped stuff up. I thought, you know, hell, I ain't got nothing to lose. I whipped it up, allowed 38 cooks, we get 10th place.
Oh, wow.
So then I tried again, and hell, that damn recipe didn't ever hit again. And I was like, damn it. Now this year we won like 2 or 3 bean contests this year, and it was different every dang time. I have not done the same bean twice, and it do something.
Isn't that something? Well, you know, they have a lot of chili contests, you know, that the organizers will add.
Yes, we have a lot of chili here, too.
Not just a regular bean contest, you know, they'll have chili. It seems to be kind of a popular thing. I know they're doing that in Apopka. If the teams... they can stay Saturday night on the land, you know, on the venue, if they cook in the chili contest the next day.
Yeah. Well, and that's funny. I've got a guy listening right now, and he just texted me today. He said, hey, your beans are damn good. It's like, yeah, well, you know, maybe they are, maybe they're not.
Dang, I love beans. I got to get to Texas so I can try your beans.
Yeah, you can come down. You can cook with me anytime. But chili is a big thing here. And this guy that just texted me, I'll tell you a funny story about chili. Because I'm not a chili cook. I am not a chili cook at all. But we were at a contest, and he was cooking chili. They had the chili category. And so they come by that morning. It's like, hey, we need a few more teams to cook chili because we don't have enough to sanction. And it's like 2 hours for a turn-in, two and a half hours, something. I mean, we're kind of, like I said, kind of in the middle of nowhere. Oh, my crap. I was like, well, I said, I mean, I'll enter it, but I mean, I ain't got crap. And so I look over at my buddy. I said, how much chili you got? And he's like, well, I don't know. I got 3 pounds. I was like, well, I need a cup. And I said, I'll do something different to it. I'll doctor it up or something. But, you know, they need more teams to get in to have it sanctioned. And, I mean, I know how it is with you know, barbecue and stuff like that. So you always try to pull something. And so I thought, well, crap. So I go over and I try chili. It's like, hey, that's pretty good. And it was pretty spicy and stuff. And so I was like, all right. So, well, give me a cup of it. So I pulled a cup off of him. And I went over there. And I mean, I'm not kidding you. I have a rub out on the market. And so I'm like, well, you know, so I put a little bit of my rub in it. And then I had a beer sitting there. And I was like, you know, I wonder what beer would be like in that. Probably good. So I poured a little bit of beer in and I stirred it up. We tasted it. He tasted it like, so bad. Like, yeah, it's not bad. He didn't place, I placed. I got like a 6th place or something in chili, and he didn't get nothing. He's like, he's sorry.
Oh, my gosh.
He's like, I cannot. I'm like, well, you should have added the beer to it, buddy. That's what you missed out. Well, he cooks with my rub.
If in doubt, add beer. That's my motto.
That's it. And so he cooks with my rub on his ribs and stuff.
Oh,
he gets first
okay.
place ribs. I get nothing in ribs. And I was like, well, I guess I just got paid back on that deal. But, you know,
wow.
it is funny. It's funny, little things like that. You know, like I said, I mean, I didn't change it much, but, I mean, you know, we did change it. And it was funny that that hit and that didn't. I was like, and he's looking at me. I mean, when they called my name, he looked right at me. I was like, sorry, dude. He's like, that's my chili. Well, it's kind of your chili.
Oh.
I said, if it was
well,
exactly
that's a
your
great
chili,
story.
You'd be up here walking.
But, you know,
yeah, it is.
That's
it was
interesting. You can have two guys using the same products, but that one guy says, let me try this one little thing, and it might hit. You never know.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
No, I mean, and that really is. I mean, you know, and sometimes that's, you know, that's for a lot over here. You know, a lot of husband-wife teams. And,
right.
You know, in Lone Star, they can actually cook on the same pit. Now, IBCA is like everybody else. I mean, you have to be two different pits, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
I'm not gonna say
I'm
not going to say you have to be in maybe two different spaces, per se, but you're both going to pay the entry fee. And, you know, I mean, it's going to be completely separate, you know, as far as that end of it.
Right.
But, you know, what happened there, and I think how that kind of come along was that people try to figure out flavor profiles. Well, you know, so you have a situation to where you can kind of run two different profiles in one contest and see what
also,
hits.
Right.
Okay. And, I mean, it doubles it up and everything, but, I mean.
Well, you know what the FDA does?
What's
we
that?
Have something, it's just for members, so we have teams that are members of the Florida Barbecue Association, as well as judges, you know, judges usually are, but we have a fun cook, and it's usually right around Labor Day weekend, and it doesn't count towards any of the points, like for Team of the Year or anything, but it's a great time that if you want to do more than one kind of chicken, you can submit two chicken boxes. You got to pay it's very small entry fees. You know, it might be $15 a box or something, you know, just to help cover some costs, you know, the fun stuff that we do. But it's a lot of fun. And we had this up-and-coming team, and it's actually a young man who has his parents cooking with him. And when I say young man, I mean he's like in his early to mid-20s. You know, he's out of college, but he's a good kid, and he's doing really well. I mean, he wins a lot of people's choices, but he's been getting a lot of walks, too. And he submitted two different, I don't know if it was ribs or chicken, and they got first and second. And we were just all dying, you know. And
yeah.
I asked him, I said, so which one won? And he thought he knew, you know, but I'm thinking, I don't know. I don't think you know which one you won, you know. But we can, at this Fun Cook, that's what it is. They kind of do things a little differently. So I came up with a really great idea. It was the very first weekend, not this past weekend, but the weekend before in Edgewater. And it was cold. It was so cold. I spent 2 days out in the cold. But it warmed up a little bit on the day, you know, when they were turning in the boxes. And I looked at Tony, and he was accepting, you know, the turn-ins. Tony's our president, but he was also repping that contest. And I look at it, and I see the boxes starting to come, you know. And I said, hey, we should start a new sport. What if we had something different for each turn-in? And the first one could be tackle turn-in, and we could tackle them as they're trying to turn in their boxes. Well, Tony gets a little twisted, and he starts talking about fishbillies. And I'm like, what is a fishbilly? You know, because I guess maybe I didn't go fishing with big enough fish in Missouri that you would need something. But he says that there are little bats, like kind of like a little billy bat, like what a cop, you know, carries. But you hit the fish with them. And he says, yeah, we could have a whole bunch of people with these fishbillies out there trying to hit them with their boxes and knock it out of their hands. And I said, could you imagine all the time? Because I know how much time some of these guys take and how hard it is to build these boxes. And you've got people trying to tackle you or hit you with fishbillies.
Yeah, no kidding.
It would be like a real sport. We could get on ESPN. You know,
oh yeah, I mean you'd have to have an offensive line, you know, blocking
yes,
and stuff
exactly.
coming in there.
That's what I said. You would have a whole. I mean, having a team would mean different. I mean, we've got some big boys out there, and I'll tell you, we've got Bud Meister, and I think he did play football at one time somewhere. He looks like a big teddy bear, but he's a big guy, and I'll tell you, I'd want. You know, maybe three or four of those guys in front of me while I carry the box.
Well, that's the way it is in Texas. I mean, we could have an offensive line that probably, you know, I bet 250 to 300, you know. Get some skinny boy in there to run. That'd be your two choices. You either need someone that's real fast and hell, the fat boy couldn't catch her. Need a hell of a line to block.
Now,
you know, and, I mean, Texas, you know, football's big in Texas. Oh, yeah. Football's big in Texas. And that damn sure be a heck of a contest. It's a little rugby
contest. I think that would be a
contest.
I told him we should try it out.
So he'd watch me get screwed up to work by the time I got there. But, you know, I tell you what, in Texas, you know, the head judges wouldn't like us too much because – you know, we have, like I said, we have that double blind deal where we have a essentially a ticket, you know, taped to it. And so, you know, you got to take your whole ticket and your box and everything back. You bust one, and we've done that before. You break a box and you got to take all that back. Our first contest we ever did that happened. My brother was just holding the box, and I mean, of course, you know, we didn't know much about it. And I'm trying to position this meat in there, and we bust the box. And it's literally like, in Texas, you have, let's say that your turn-in time is noon. You got 10 minutes before and 10 minutes after to turn in.
Okay.
And so we
yeah,
were like right up
minutes.
On.
Yeah.
Yeah, like KBC is. And so we're sitting there, and I mean, we're like at the, you know, straight-up mark. And I was like, crap. And I look over, and I mean, I've got to go like 200 yards to get another box. And then get back over there, put it back in, and then get back over there. And I was like, this would be interesting. I mean, I take off running, and I mean, I'm about a 220-pound boy. And I get over there, you know, and I give him another box, get back over there, and we get the thing turned in. And I'm sitting there thinking, wow, that's rough. I don't want to ever do that again. No more busting boxes. And so... You know, it is. It's a crazy thing, you know. It's like we did the Royal this year, and where we were at, it took almost 7 minutes to get to the turn-in from where we were at.
Oh, my gosh. Boy, you really had to time that just right.
And so, you know, I've got the only thing that saved my butt was we had some friends that live in Missouri. They live in Marshall, and they come out, and my wife was there. And so, I mean, I was just rotating, you know, going all the way through it. And it saved my butt because, I mean, if I would have had to have done that, I don't know if I could have sprinted that many times.
Oh, my gosh.
To get over, to get it turned in and get back over and get something else done. And
can you drive the golf cart?
Well, you could, but, I mean, it's just so daggone far for us to go up there. I mean, it's just, you know, resource-wise.
Well,
I mean,
that's true. Well, maybe you need to rent one while you're up there.
Well, that could be. You know, that might be the thing, you know. And see, next year, I just built a 25-foot porch trailer. So, you know, that'll be more interesting getting up there this next year. But, you know, hopefully we'll qualify and get to cook that again. And Yeah, they had a...
You go on the Invitational Topside as well?
Yes, yes. I cooked both of them this year. We had an 18th place in chicken at the Invitational out of 174.
Wow.
So
that's excellent.
And that's really one of my worst categories in KCBS. Now in IBCA I do well in chicken. But
okay.
KBCS, that's really what kills me. And so, you know, pork has been my category all year. And it's always funny coming from a Texas boy, you know, like we cooked the Sam's Club Challenge and we did real well. And then we went out to we did the regional, and we were out there with, several big teams. We were out there with Trig and Big Pop Smokers. We were out there with IB30 and all them guys. And we took a pork out there with all them guys. And so, you know, when I went into it, I was like, you know, brisket and pork are probably going to be where we'll be. And then, we smashed this 18th and chicken, and that kind of bombed everything else. I mean, I think we were like 120th out of 174 teams, and could have been worse. But I was like, okay. So, it's completely different. It is wild.
Yeah.
I mean, but... You know, we had more calls in brisket this year than, you know, I think we took 20, I think somewhere around 20 to 23 contests. And I think in regular categories we had 32 or 33 calls out of all of that. And so, you know, brisket was what we led in this year, like 9 or 10 calls, top 10 calls in brisket. And, it was kind of disappointing. You know, you go in there and we had some good stuff, but, you know, we just, we ended up on some of those tables. And that is kind of the nice thing about the KBCS this year, where they started just kind of like you guys are doing. You can kind of see what the judges are doing. And, I mean, so, you know, all of a sudden, I mean, you know, it don't make you feel much better, but, I mean, you kind of know, like, well, you ended up on a table where, you know, the average score that guy had that day was like 25. You know, so it's like, you know,
right.
What do you do? You know, I mean, there's just some things you can't control.
Yeah.
And
that's the exciting thing is, you know, because of the variables every week of how it's going to hit. We've got you saw Jim Elser score Sweet Smoke Q, won Grand Champion this past weekend. He got a 199 in chicken.
Yeah.
But he's known for his pork injection, you know.
It's
incredible.
A good pork injection. I've played with it a little bit. And, you know, we don't cook enough. In my area, I've gotten a lot of the promoters to jump on this year to do pork. And we're going to do more of that. And I've been playing with – I've cooked with his injection and Cosmos is the two pork injections I've kind of messed with. And, I've only played with his a couple of times. And like I said, we've had some good luck with it. But I want to do some more of that this year. And because, you know, Zach and Jada were at Pitmaster's Depot. They're big supporters on that end of it. And, I like it because it is already, it's already a liquid form. So, you know, it's a little easier than having to mix up and stuff, you know. You can still kind of do what you want with it. And I don't know, I don't know down there, do y'all use like nectars or something that you mix with it, or y'all just run it straight?
Well,
or?
You know, different fruit juices is what we mix with it, you know, whether it might be apple or it might be like a white grape or, you know, just some people even orange. We'll mix some orange in there. Probably the most common.
Common,
yes.
Yeah.
But, it's a great injection because I think it accents the pork. You know, it doesn't overpower it. And I think a lot of what hits down here is because we are all about the meat and the flavor of the meat and not masking. You know, we like things that accentuate it. And
that's why we are here. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't want it to overpower
Texas
it. I mean, yeah.
It's a lot like, yeah. So it's whenever I'm, even when I'm cooking, you know, for my friends or at home, I use the juice, as they say, Sweet Smoke Q, and they and they love it. You know, I always get compliments, and I will actually purposely leave off any sauce. I'll make a couple of different sauces because, you know, some people like sweet, some like it more vinegary. So I make several different versions for people to add to it, but they like the pork by itself. And I always like to use cherry on my pork because it leaves such a nice smoke ring on it and a nice flavor. And I'll add some apple as well. But the cherry
cherry wood? Okay.
Yeah.
See, I cook with oak, and then on my pork and my chicken, I use apple. I'll mix it in with the oak, and it's kind of the same way. I mean, the oak's pretty mellow, so you don't have to worry about it. I mean, you can smoke with it all day long without overpowering it. And then
use pecan probably like you use oak. You know what's real interesting is my brother, you know, I grew up with a family, we never bought briquettes. We just cut our own little pieces of wood. You know, we made our own. Mm-hmm. And my brother's been this way, experimenting, I mean, as long as I can remember. And even now, him and my dad, they'll take all these different hot peppers and they smoke them. And then they dehydrate them and they grind them up in these different pepper seasonings for me. And I, instead of using cayenne pepper, I use their mix. And I'll make some of my own rubs, or I'll doctor up different rubs that I get. And because it's just a beautiful, really balanced, smoky flavor, and it has a little bit of a, it's not so spicy where it masks, like you can't taste anything else.
Right.
It just brings out the flavor. And I love that kind of spicy, smoked flavor. But,
well, see, and that's kind of that's funny if you say that, because I think that is something Missouri, you know, like I said, you know, one of my big sponsors is Oak Ridge, Michael Trump.
Right.
And all of his
rubs
have different chilies and stuff in it. And,
yep.
You know, the thing that I loved about it was that I'm from New Mexico, and so green chili is like the king. That is like the capital of the world
for
green chili. And so I love chili. I absolutely just love that kind of chili and stuff like that. And so that was something that, you know, Mike, you know, when I got to reading all his books, I was like, we're going to get along great, buddy, because I love all chili stuff. But it really surprised me that, and when you said that, being from Missouri, how much you guys like chili too.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's just, I grew up with spicy foods, with different peppers and stuff, and it was so funny when I got married. I made my spaghetti. It was a spicy spaghetti. I mean, most everything I made had some kind of a pepper seasoning in it. And my husband is from the north. He's from Wisconsin. He can't help it. And bless his heart, he wasn't used to that. And he told me that maybe I shouldn't make it spicy anymore because we were starting to have kids. And maybe it wouldn't be good for the kids, and I don't know at all. Although my girls love spicy stuff now, so it's kind of like not even an issue now. And it's not that he didn't really like it, but I guess he wasn't used to so much flavor.
Yeah. Well,
he didn't grow up with all these spices, you know, and peppers
and
stuff.
Yeah, and I mean, when I come to Texas, the same deal. I mean, when I got married, you know, my wife and everybody, they're all from Texas, and I cooked for the family. I made, like, fajitas or something the first time, and I maybe made some what we call like a cowboy chili, which has got beans and beef and everything in it. It's more of a stew.
Right.
And I'll never forget, I mean, everybody's sitting there, they're eating, and I mean, they're beet red. And I'm looking out like, what's wrong with you people? And they're like, man, that's the best stuff, but that stuff is hot. I'm like, when it's hot. They're like, that is hot. I'm like, what do you mean, like stove hot? No. Like chili hot. I'm like,
Right.
God, that ain't nothing. That's kind of like a, I don't know. It might be the
That's
bottom
right.
end of
you,
a
you
medium.
You grew up with that green stuff that will melt your face off. I know what you're
and
talking
they're like,
about.
Yeah, they're like, God almighty, you killed somebody with this stuff. And I'm like, that's pretty good. And, you know, it's been like that, and so they've kind of gotten accustomed to it, you know. And I'll never forget when my mom, she'll look at me, she's like, okay, still make it spicy. And I'm like, spicy for who? Who are we talking about here? She's like, you know what I'm talking about. I'm like, I'll do what I can, but ain't no promising. And I ordered in some green chili out of New Mexico here a few years ago when we had some friends over. I practiced my wife's boss's husband, and ordered in some, it was thought to be hot New Mexico green chili, which would generally be what they call a sandia blend. But it was actually about medium.
Okay.
And so my dad was over here, and we're eating it, and they come over, and, you know, Monty's looking at me. He's like, well, what's that like? I was like, it's all right. And so he finally, curiosity killed him, and so he had tried. So he bit into it, and he's like, oh, my God, that is hot. I'm like, Dad, what do you think? He said, how about medium? I said, yeah, that's what I'm thinking. He's like, medium? I'm like, yeah, you had the hot stuff there. And he's like, oh, crap.
It's
like,
a medium for you. That's what you forgot
to
tell him.
I mean, and that's how we've always been. I mean, and I grew up with it as a kid, you know. So, I mean, that's very much how I've always lived. And, you know, if I say something's hot, You better watch out, because that stuff is hot. And, you know, I love it. And, you know, and it's kind of funny, but, I mean, it really surprised me about the Missouri. California a little bit. I've got a buddy that's here that lives here from California, has a barbecue shop. And he likes spicy stuff. And, but, you know, I don't hear much about it out of Missouri. But, you know, when you said that, it got me thinking about Michael, and I was like, you know. So I guess it is more common up there than what I think.
Well,
you know,
I grew up with anyway. But now, I don't know if you can really take my word for it or not, even though I'm a born and bred Missouri girl. I, at the last Fun Cook, and I'm just going to tell you once and then I'll deny it after this, but we were having a few drinks. We were having a good time. And we were trying different things. We had some Crown Ale, of course, our staple. But we had also some Cabo Wabo. And then Jim Elser had some pink drinks. And so I think maybe I had one too many pink drinks. I don't know. I was feeling pretty good, though. And Dorsey was playing his guitar and singing different songs. And evidently, there was this ghost pepper vodka that was going around. And I wasn't really paying attention. But, you know, I like my dad and my brother, they'll put a blend of ghost peppers in some of the seasonings for me. And they try different things, different ways of smoking them and infusing them with different flavors, the pepper seasoning. And because they know I love to cook and blend my own rubs and stuff like that. So, you know, these guys, here they all are, you know, Dana and Rub and Jim and, you know, Papa Clark and all these guys, these big guys, FBA guys, and they've got the shot and somebody, I don't even know where it came from, and everybody's like, you know, evidently had been tasting it, but they're like, oh, hey, Angela, try this, ghost pepper vodka. So, you know, I stick my finger, they're like, oh, don't drink it. You know, you might want to just take your finger and dip it in there. And I tasted it, but I couldn't really taste it. So I took the shot and I slammed it back. And everybody goes, oh! And I'm like, I'm looking around like, why? And then it hit me a few seconds later. It was a warm sensation. It kind of takes your breath away. And I think, though, for me, it took about 15 minutes, and then I got the feeling back in my lips after that. But I just remember Dana Hillis going, I'm still hurting from that. I just, I can't, and I didn't even drink, and nobody else took a shot. I was the only bright, smart person, but, you know, after 15 minutes, I was okay.
Yeah.
Now, the next day, I had cocktail flu, and it wasn't because of the vodka, it was because of everything else. But, but the ghost pepper, you know, the spiciness of it,
uh-huh.
After 15 minutes, I was fine. It wasn't like any, it wasn't any big deal. But there are all these guys who are like, you know, like, oh, man, I thought my face was melting off, you know, and everything. But I grew up with spicy stuff. And, you know, my,
right.
But we always blended things, not for the sake of being hot, because I hate going somewhere and they just make it hot and you can't
mm-hmm.
really taste anything else.
Right,
I like
exactly.
it as a compliment to whatever you're eating again, you know.
Right.
And that's just how I grew up. So I don't want to melt anybody's face off. I just want I want a nice kick on the back end of it, and then I feel successful. But that ghost pepper vodka, anybody listening, I just want to warn you about that. About kicking that back.
Well, you know, that's where my rub is. I've got mine's a, pretty much a sweet heat, and it's got a pretty good bite. It does have cayenne in it. And, I mean, it's
right.
got a little bit of bite on the end of it, but when you cook with it, I mean, you know, it goes in and it works with everything. But one of the big
that's
things
perfect.
That I got it to, yeah, I mean, it works out. It blends. I mean, everybody can eat it, but, I mean, it's got a little bit of, it's got a little bite to it. And, you know, it's mother-in-law tested. You know, she eats it all the time, so I know I'm always good on that end of it. If she can handle it.
There you go.
And, you know, it's like my buddy from California. He asked, he called me one night, and he said, hey, he said, do you make red sauce? And I said, well, yeah, I do make a red sauce, like an enchilada sauce. I said, but, you know, I said, you need to understand. I said, I'm from New Mexico, and so my red sauce is going to be a lot different. And at the time, I didn't know he was from California. And so, you know, I'm sitting there thinking of the Tex-Mex sale, and I'm like, look, my sauce is a lot different than what you guys would be used to. And he said, well, he said, next time you make something, he said, make me a batch. And I said, all right. I said, okay. So I made a batch of it up, and I took it down there. And I said, what do you want to do with it? He said, have you ever heard of chili Colorado? And I said, yeah. And he said, well, he said, I'm thinking about using it with some brisket. I said, hey, that'd probably be pretty good. And he makes a good brisket. And so we one night, we chopped up a point, you know, kind of the burn-in thing. And we doused it into my red sauce. That's some of the best stuff I've ever had. He's like, that is unbelievably good. I was like, oh, man, well, don't start selling it. But, I mean, you know, it was kind of a funny thing is that, you know, I've never, that was something I had never thought about doing is taking my red sauce and putting it with brisket. And, oh, man.
Nice.
I was like, that was just, it was kind of over the top, you know. I was like,
yeah.
Okay. And so I do heating and air conditioning. And so I was at a customer's house one day. And I'd been making him red sauce from time to time. And so I'm at this customer's house. And so somehow or another we got on my buddy's about his barbecue shop here. And he's like, yeah. And he said, you know, he said, he caters these fajitas sometimes for us. He said, man, he's got this red sauce. He said, it's just kick ass. And I said, oh, really? He said, yeah. He said it's so unique. He said, it's not like you'd find around here. I was like, well, I'll be damned. And he said, you ever had it? I said, yeah. I said, matter of fact, I have. I said, I'm the one that makes that damn red sauce. I didn't know he'd been giving it away. He said, you know, because I'm like,
oh,
I can tell him at a time. And I was like, ah. And he's like, well, yeah. I said, I use a little bit. So I don't give them much. And I said, well, that's what they said. That, you know, they always wanted more, and you always give them a little bit. He's like, well, hell yeah. He said, I ain't going to give them a lot. He said, yeah. He said, I'm giving it to them. Oh, damn. He said, yeah. He said, they really like it. I said, well, apparently so. I said, I met one of your biggest fans.
You're famous.
I said, yeah,
well,
I didn't mean to take up
all your time.
No, you didn't take up all my time at all. It was a good call.
I was feeling bad because I thought, oh, no, I was, you know, trying to get in and from, you know, having a good day at volleyball, but I Well, I can always talk barbecue, that's for sure. I think I was telling you that I started off as an organizer, and then I got certified as a judge, and then I went to do my, you cook with the team to go for your master's as a master certification. And so Papa Clark let me cook with Team Unknown up in Live Oak, where Damon Woolley, Woolley Bully's Barbecue, he organizes that contest up there, and that's a good contest. So now I have the bug, and I'm cooking with Miss Lori Frazee. She's a moonshine queen, I'll tell you. She makes those darn moonshine shots.
Moonshine made around Texas, too. We love apple pie.
Oh, man, her apple pie is so awesome. But I lose the feeling out of one side of my lips, I think, after a while. But I sure do have a good time. But she makes great moonshine apple pie, and I usually keep some of the plain stuff when if I just want a shot of something, because sometimes I don't feel like doing much drinking, but a little swig and I'm good. And we were laughing about maybe adding something to our brisket or something. We thought maybe that's what she did. Maybe she added that apple pie, and that's what got her. I don't know.
I tried it on ribs one time. So, I really liked the profile of it, and I thought, the alcohol just got vaporized.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. It really has to be a special flavor of it, and some of that stuff, it's just pure grain alcohol. So, it's just going to go up in smoke anyway. So you might as well use it for the benefit of mankind and not in your sauce, maybe.
Well, her and I are going to have to get together. We've had Christian. I've been out with Chris Chadwick and then another Frank Cox. He's a Missouri boy.
Yeah.
If you ever listen to his stuff, but matter of fact, he
built
my pit.
What's wrong with Missouri?
No, none wrong. I mean, matter of fact, my pit come from Missouri, so he built me a hybrid reverse flow offset.
Okay.
Weighed 1,800 pounds, and sitting on the back end of my trailer right now. I mean, it's a beast, but it cooks great. And I've had quite a few of the barbecue superstars, Daryl Mass and all them. Lori and I hadn't got together. We were on a show here a few weeks back. I guess it was around New Year's or so. I think it was a Chadwick show. She called in and I called in. And that's the first time we'd actually talked. There's been so much of this stuff go on. I've listened to her show a couple times. That's the first time her and I had actually talked. And, she's a hoot. And, matter of fact, I think that was the weekend, wasn't this week, it was the weekend before last, she was cooking, was it in the Big Papa's challenge, I guess.
Oh, that was in Jacksonville. Big Papa's Battle of Barbecue Junction, because Daryl was filming that. I was there at that one.
Daryl's a hoot.
Oh, well, yeah, he is. He's barbecue superstars.
Well,
everybody knows Daryl.
We did a live show in at the American Royal. Frank Cox, Daryl, me, and another guy. And at the end of the show, we ended up in a chugging contest, beer chugging contest.
Gosh.
That's how Daryl finished it up. And then, of course, Frank comes back the next day. I win the contest. The next day, Frank comes back, and he's crying foul. So we had to go back over. And at the time, I guess my friends were gone, and my wife was gone. I don't know where they'd gone. They'd gone somewhere. It was after the Invitational. It was after awards and everything. Oh, no, I take that back. It was Friday night, so we did Friday Night Lights. And they had gone to dinner or something, and so I had to do the show over there. And so none of them knew about any of that stuff that had gone on. So Saturday afternoon, it was after the awards and everything, Saturday afternoon, Daryl comes back over and he's like, hey, man, he said, Frank's crying about this whole deal. I said, crying about what? He said, he's saying your beer wasn't clean. He said, he thinks that you took a drink out of your beer before we started this contest.
Oh, really?
And I was like, really? I was like, well, that might be true. I mean, hell, I don't know. I mean, because, you know, at the time we started.
It was sitting in front of you.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, it might have happened. I don't know. And he's like, well, we got to do this again. And so my wife's looking at me. She's like, what the hell is that about? So what's what about? She goes, checking contest. And I was like, well, shit. Now we have to fess up to all this crap. And I was like, well, you know, we had this contest, and oh, and you won. I was like, well, yeah. And so we get over there. Of course, we're drinking Coors Light the first night. Well, the second night, they pull out, I don't remember the beer. It was a real heavy, it was kind of like a Shinerbach or something. I mean, it was a real heavy beer.
Right.
And I was like, this ain't chugging beer, boys. and of course, I'd been in
you needed Bud Light or something, right?
Yeah, I needed to go back, you know. I mean, you know, chugging beer is a light beer or something like that. I mean, you don't go in there chugging, you know, like a Guinness or something like that. I mean,
right,
you know,
exactly.
I mean, no, they're not chugging beers. And, you know, the other part of that was, is I'd been competing all day, so I had like one damn beer all day. Well, Frank and them, all they were doing was cooking the open, so they'd been drinking all damn day. I was like, you know, I think I'm getting screwed on this deal. I said, I'm not even conditioned to be chugging. You know, we're talking like maybe my second beer of the day, and I've got to chug the damn thing? I'm like, oh, I got my ass kicked.
Oh.
I just gave up. I didn't even finish the damn thing. I was like,
did Daryl get this all on video? Is that what you're trying to
tell
me?
Oh, yeah, it's all on video. Yeah, both
days.
Okay,
I got to go watch it and see what happens.
Yeah, you got to go find it. I mean, it was at the American Royal, and the Friday night, actually, I think how they had it labeled. I'm going to look at here. Hold on a second, if I can pull it back up. Oh, crap. Oh, yeah, the whole damn show Friday night was just funny as hell because there was some kind of Renaissance thing going on there.
Oh, the Renaissance Festival is out west of town.
Well, they all showed up to the American Royal.
Really? That's funny.
Yeah, they were all in their costumes and everything. And, you know, they invited them over, and there were like 20 of them. You know, and of course, you know, they got the dresses on and everything's kind of pumped up and everything, you know. And, you know, I made some smart-ass comment like, well, this is a total bust or something to that nature. And, you know, everybody goes laughing about it. I was like, well, you know, good Lord, guys. I mean, all this is going on around here tonight. I mean, we're just sitting there having a hell of a damn time. It was funny. I mean, we had a good time. We did it for like an hour. It was,
I'm going to have to get a group of the guys down here and see if
we all can
go out
and
meet you.
Yeah, it's called Lance Moore Frank Cox Live American Royal.
Okay.
That's what it was on Barbecue Superstars. And then there's a video on all of it. I've never even seen the video. I've never even looked at it. But,
I'm going to look it up so that I can see you guys and think, wow, these guys are real dumbasses.
Yeah, I mean, well, that's probably pretty much it. We're just kind of sitting in chairs. We're sitting there shooting the shit and talking barbecue. And matter of fact, Amy Hayes, which is Stan Hayes' wife for OBR, apparently I think she must have been there because we were talking about that last week on the show, and that got brought up. She's like, oh, I know who you are. And I'm like, oops. Ain't no telling what I said. You know how it is? It was Friday night.
It
was before midnight.
Florida's going to come and invade and meet up with Texas and Missouri.
Hey, there you go. Come
on. We'll take over and raise some hell.
I'm telling you, we can do it, girl. We can do it. And like I said, anytime you want to come up to Texas, cook, you're more than welcome to come cook with me.
Well, I've been trying to get somebody to show me how to do brisket. I was trying to see if...
I mean, you know, you might be able to teach me some things about this chicken thing, too. So,
well, I'll teach you what I know, but I have to get Papa Clark's permission first because it's all his secret.
Let me tell you
a secret about Papa Clark. If you go up and ask him, he's going to tell you anyway.
Yeah, that's the way I am.
But out of respect, I always ask him.
Sure. Well, just tell him, just tell him it's the team of the year, tier two for Oak Ridge. He was tier one. He whipped everybody. I mean, he whipped everybody good.
Well, you know, him and Jason and Dorsey are the cooks on that team. And Papa Clark does chicken, and Jason does the ribs and pork, and Dorsey is the brisket. And I'll tell you, they're all hell of a cook.
They've got to be.
They are. But there's not anybody you'll have a better time with. You have a good time when you see them. And everybody's like, we don't get it. How can anybody have such a good time and then have such great scores? But see, it was. They said that the drunker that they got Jason, they knew the better he cooked.
Better he cooked? Fine. You know, sometimes that works. I cooked a contest my first year, and we'd been doing really well, and it'd been one of those long weeks. You know, you work all week and you're tired, and like I said, I'm in heat and air. So this was about May of the year, and I mean, I just been blowing and going, and they had a kids' show and everything on Friday night, and so I cooked for my daughter and everything. And I mean, I was just wore out, and we didn't turn brisket until like 4:30 the next day. And so that meant that I was going to put brisket on like at 2 o'clock in the morning. And it was cold. It was like one of them deals. I mean, we had a little cold front come in. And so it was cool. And so I crawled in the truck, and I was going to take about an hour, a little nap. And I'll never forget this. About the next thing I know, my brother-in-law is knocking on the window. He's like, hey, we going to cook today? I'm like, yeah, here in a minute. He said, you know, it's 6 o'clock in the morning. I'm like, it's what?
Oh, crap.
He said, yeah. He fires out and everything. I said, oh, baloney.
Oh, crap.
It's 6 o'clock, and I'm sitting there thinking, oh, we're screwed.
Oh, crap.
Oh, we're so screwed.
There should be things.
And I mean, I come out of that truck. You know, and it wasn't like we were drunk or anything like that. It was just tired.
Right.
And I jumped out of the truck, and I'm starting a fire, and I mean, you know how it is. I mean, it's like playing catch-up. And
oh,
so.
Oh, my gosh.
I cook
that's
on one
just another layer of overcoming the obstacles when you're cooking out there.
Oh, yeah. And
how did you end up doing?
Well, that's what I was saying. I mean, I grab the brisket, and I mean, I get that bad boy on, and so I get it on. It's probably about 6:15 or so I get it on. I'm supposed to wrap it about 9:30. It's right on target at 9:30 to be wrapped. I mean, I'm running that smoker. I mean, I'm doing a Meyer and Nixon hot and fast cook. I mean, I've never cooked like that. And I'm like, he's like, yeah, it's a tip. And I'm like, yeah, it is. Let's wrap that bad boy. He's like, hey, you did that like 3 hours. I'm like, yep. Yeah, we're right back on track. And so we get done. And I mean, I'm just, how it is. I mean, you feel like, this is going to be one of them crappy days. And I'll never forget, we hit like third place chicken.
Wow.
And then we hit like fifth in ribs.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, you know, I had plenty of time on that. And then brisket don't show. Well, so they announced the grand and the reserve, and I had looked at the scores and stuff from the year before. And I'm sitting there, and I'm counting my points and stuff, and I'm like, man, you know, we were probably close within a couple of points of, you know, pulling this thing out if it would have been for brisket. And, I mean, our brisket was done and everything, but I'll tell you, it didn't have the smoke ring. It didn't have the smoke that mine normally did. And so we go back and we're turning down camp, and I thought, you know, I just want to know. And so I turned around and I walked back over, and so I thought so the head judge had already left, and so her husband was there, and he said, let me find out. He said, I'll email it to you in the next day or two. And I'm like, okay. I'm like, because sometimes, you know, it can be 3 or 4 days before we see the scores overall on the website.
Right.
And I was like, oh, this is killing me. And well, that's the other thing he told me. He said, I think you tied for reserve. And I was like, yeah, I was like, crap. Tied for reserve grand champion, and I'll lose it in brisket because brisket's a tiebreaker.
Oh,
so, I
man.
Mean, that's sitting over my head. That's sitting over
Are
my head.
Are you kidding?
I am not kidding you. 84 teams, 85 teams. This is my first season. I mean, it's like my fifth or sixth cook. I already had a top five out of like 72 teams. And so, I mean, I'm sitting here and I'm thinking, and I'm killing myself. I mean, I'm pissed. I'm
you
sitting fell asleep,
thinking, you let your fire go out, and you still tie for reserve grand champion. That's incredible.
Well, it's actually better than that. I get the scores back. I was tied for grand champion. I lost the tiebreaker. No, I lost the tiebreaker in brisket. Them two guys hit in brisket, and I did not, and so that was first and second.
Oh, my God.
We all had 14 points.
You've got to be kidding me.
And I'm going, son of a bitch.
You must have been
dying. I mean, that one, I'll never forget. Never forget. And I was like,
So is that your secret weapon now to let the fire go out?
No. You know what I do nowadays? I'll throw that thing on. If I'm that tired, I'll throw it on at 10 o'clock, crank it down a little bit. That's when I will use the guru. I'll shut my air down,
right. And
then I can kind of control it. And, you know, I can get 4 or 5 hours burn out of it that way. And,
right. You
know, if I'm real tired, if we've traveled a long way or something like that, I will do that, and I would much rather do that than be on the other side of it trying to catch up the other way. And,
absolutely.
You know, and it was a lot of lessons you learn. I mean, you know, it was a Texas State Championship, and, I mean, there I am. I mean, and I'm going, crap.
That's incredible, though. Man, that's some real skill right there, than what you just described.
it's like someone shooting. And, of course, you know, for a long time, the only ones that knew about that was me and my brother-in-law. I mean, most everybody didn't know about it. I mean, I was devastated over it. And, I mean, we had been very, you know, like I said, you know, if we do drink, I mean, you know, usually midnight, we cut it off. I mean,
right.
And
yeah.
Because that's usually about the time I'm normally putting stuff on and I go to business, you know. And generally,
absolutely.
I mean, all we're doing is drinking Church Light or something like that anyway. So it's not like, you know, you're out getting drunk or something like that, you know.
Absolutely.
But,
yeah.
You know, and then, you know, in Texas, if it gets hot, you know, the next day you can drink beer all day long. And I mean, it just goes right through
It'll
you.
It'll just
I mean,
sweat it out
you know.
Of you, yeah.
You know, and so, I mean, you know, we've been pretty focused. But, I mean, that one right there, I was like, oh, I cannot believe.
And what an incredible story, you know.
Oh,
I mean,
it was. I mean, it was a hell of a story.
It could have turned out really, really bad. Really bad.
Everything
you're describing could have just crushed you completely out of the contest. And for you to tie for grand champion is just incredible. That is some real skill, and I, you know, it's like pulling a rabbit out of your hat. That one
right there is like, you know, you pull it out of your butt, and I mean, because you know how it is. I mean, you know how it is when you get to contests and you're behind when you start. I mean, that's what that was. I mean, you're playing catch up all day long. I mean, you're not happy with anything you do. I mean, it's just one of those days. I mean, you know, it's probably not the worst. You know what I'm saying? I mean, but, you know,
absolutely.
You're just not happy because, I mean, you just feel like you're rushed and you know, you're just, you know, you're kind of flying by the seat of your britches and stuff. And, you know, when all that happened, I mean, but like I said, it just made me sick. Oh, it
you
made me sick.
You gotta admit it, though. It makes for a great story.
Oh, yeah. Great story, right? Yeah.
Now it does. Not then, but now it does.
Oh, yeah. Well, and that's the thing, you know. And I mean, that's where we go. And, I mean, you know, and you know how it is, too. I mean, this was our second year in competition this year. And like I said, I mean, you know, we have people on board like Trump. And, I mean, you know, and that was something, too. I mean, you know how what they say. I mean, you know, your second year is always kind of the proof in the pudding. Can you do what you did the first year? You know, absolutely. Of course, we hit a grand in this stuff this year, and that's why it was such a surprise to me when we were Team of the Year with Oak Ridge. I mean, we beat Clarkie Crew, which won the American Royal, or was reserve grand champion of the American Royal. We beat them guys today, this year, in the second tier board. And I'm like,
that's awesome.
Well, okay, you know, maybe you do know something. You know,
especially
hell
when you know the skill is coming in, to, you know, you're coming into your skill, and you have that consistency.
And that, just what you said earlier, consistency is the key. Absolutely, that is the thing. I mean, everybody has those good days, they have them bad days, stuff like that. And that's what's made Myron, that's what's made Johnny Trigg and all them guys there over the years, is consistency. Not going out there winning every contest or anything like that. I mean, they're shooting an average. And that's where they learn to cook, and that's exactly it. And that's what you want. And so
that's what you should strive for is consistency. You know, when you have it hit and miss all the time, then there must be something what you're doing is, you know, if you don't have some kind of an average as far as that consistency, then you got to know. I mean, it's not that you're going to walk, you know, in the top five on every contest and every meet category, but you start getting top 10 all the time. Like some of these guys, they have a walk in every category. They might have second, they might have 10th, but they're getting walks in top 10. And you know, Papa Clark told me, he said, you know, it takes skill to get in the top 10, and he says sometimes it's a crapshoot where in the top 10 you fall. But, you know, that's where the skill comes in. When you're getting in the 190s, you know, week after week after week when you're competing, then, that you know, you've got skill at that point.
Yeah, you've done something right.
Absolutely. So that's pretty cool.
I
appreciate you let me come on and bend your ear a little bit. It's been a lot of fun. And you know, I always like to talk about different contests because I came down here to Florida from Missouri, and I just adore these guys down here. We, you know, a lot of great people, and I know you come across in your barbecue world there, just a lot of good people and who feel like family, and you have a good time, and you'll help each other out. And now, this past year, the FBA, we actually, the board voted in to make Operation Barbecue Relief our official charity of the FBA. And so I'm going to be working on some fundraisers, starting with mine here in Oviedo. And then we also have agreed to, you know, help to distribute the word whenever there's crisis, you know, in different areas, because we have a lot of cooks who will come and help out, and we definitely believe in what they're doing. But I just, there's something about barbecue. It's I love it. I love to eat it. I love to cook it. I love hanging out with the people, and it's a great thing. And I love to see families come out and do it together, and husbands and wives, and so it's something for everybody. Really, it is.
Absolutely. No, and that's the thing. I mean, that's the way we are. That's the way life. Like I said, and I'm a very big supporter of OBR. And what I'm going to tell you is that, you know, anything that you have, anytime that you want to get something out there for the FBA, you miss out. Let's do it.
Absolutely.
We'll put it out on the airways and.
You know, because we cook year-round, sometimes it makes it nice for the, you know, the teams that in the areas that are sub-below zero. they can come down because FBA's website is flbbq.org, and you can go enter the site and you click on contests, and you can see what contests we have, which ones are Jack qualifiers. All of them are American Royal Invitational qualifiers. Some of them are World Food Championships, and there are different ones, and there's links to each of the organizers' websites or Facebook pages or contact information, so you can always, you know, contact them directly, or you can even get on there, if you go on Meet the Board, there's my information, my contact email and number, and I'm happy to talk to anybody and answer any questions and help you out. And, you know, we love to invite people to come down, and we have a lot of judges and cooks that do cook around the states and who judge in different areas. So, you know, we'd love to get the word out of what you guys are doing, too, as well. So it's all good in the world of barbecue, isn't it?
That's it. That is exactly right. Well, like I said, I mean, you know, like I said, any of that kind of stuff, you just holler at me, and we'll get it out there.
Awesome.
We're more glad to do that. And, I mean, I know I think Lori's taking over where Whiskey Mint was at. I think she's doing the Tuesday night show now. And,
okay, yeah.
So you know, like I said,
she puts on a good show. I think she said she had like 130 guests last year from 22 different states, and she... I know she definitely, she likes to do her homework on that stuff.
She does.
She's an interesting
She does a very
gal.
Good job.
Yeah.
She started right after I did. And, you know, when I kind of got asked into this deal, I was like, about went into a panic. I was like, I drank a beer. I was like, sure, Daryl, I'll do it.
Was,
and then,
was it right after that chugging contest? Is that when he asked you?
No. Actually, I did cook that one this year. It was right before that one this year.
Okay.
And, no, I mean, I kind of got involved with him a little over a year ago on Chris
uh-huh.
Hedwig's show. And that's kind of how we got to know him. And then there's a video out there that Daryl does with my rub. And you got to understand, my rub has a lot of brown sugar and stuff in it. It's
right.
very much a chicken and rib type rub.
Okay.
And he put my rub on some ribs and then put them like over on a grill, like direct flame.
Oh, no. You can't do that with brown sugar.
They were the darkest ribs I've ever seen in my life. But that thing has hit like 6,000 or 7,000 hits. And he said, that's the best ribs I've ever had. And I was like, really? He's like, yeah. He said the flavor is just unbelievable. I was like, hell, I figured you burned them up. He said, well, they were a little dark. And I said, yeah. I said, I didn't know when we talked about this that you were going to put them over a direct flame. I would have said something
yeah.
about it. I just, you know,
I
you know what I'm saying? I mean, I didn't think about it. And I was like,
anybody who cooks knows what brown sugar does on a direct flame.
Oh yeah. I was like, damn, Daryl. And he's like, man, he says, man, they have a lot of flavor. And I was like, okay. And I mean, and that's what Chadwick called me here a while back, and he said, hey, dude. He said, you ever watch that video? I said, yeah. I said, I watched a little bit of it. I watched the whole I could stand of it. And he said, do you realize that video is like one of the top videos on his site? And I said, really? He said, yeah. He said, they had like over 5,000 hits. I'm like, yeah, well, it's probably not because of that. It's probably because of other things, because of, you know, someone putting, you know, direct fire to.
Oh,
I'm like,
that's funny.
But, I mean, you know, so, you know, hell, I mean, we've done a lot together, and I mean, the great people, Daryl has just been unbelievably, you know, in supporting, you know, the barbecue community and doing all this. Yeah, and I mean, you know, I've been honored to be associated with it and to do it because, you know, it's so far out of my box. I mean, of course, everybody that knows me thinks that's a lie, but I'm a very shy person. And, you know, in groups and stuff like that.
I would have never guessed that.
Yeah, see, most people wouldn't because they don't know me. But, I mean, you know, like when I had speech and stuff in college, I did it online, and they'd like to kill me just doing it online and by myself. So it was so far out of my realm. Like I said, it was a good thing I was under the influence of alcohol when I agreed to this whole thing. But it has been good, and I mean, you know, like I said, I mean, you know, and that's the funny thing about it is that, you know, whether you guys are FBA or IBCA or whatever. I mean, just what you said. I mean, the barbecue community is such a tight-knit. It's all friends. You know, it's like you never meet a stranger.
Absolutely.
And that's what makes this stuff is that it is, it's very family oriented. And like I said, I mean, when you know, it's like Facebook or whatever. I mean, you meet all these people and everything, and I mean, you have on conversations, you get to know them. And so,
absolutely,
you know,
yeah,
when you do meet them in person, it's like, well, hell, it's like I've known you for like 100 years.
Absolutely,
you know,
that's it.
You know, how's Granny Beth doing over there, you know? You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's
yeah,
something special that most people in most organizations, professional sports or anything else, they don't have that kind of camaraderie and stuff like that. I mean, that is something very unique to this whole thing. And that's what, to me, that's what makes it special. That's what makes it neat. They said we can do all that. And, I mean, you know, there's not even boundaries, really. I mean, you know, you guys are way over there. We're way over here. And, you know, we can still carry on a conversation.
Yeah.
And, you know, most people can't do that kind of stuff. So, yeah, it is. And, you know, it's like I said, like OBR, stuff like that, you're absolutely right. Them people, it's outstanding what they do. I know that they were monitoring. I know Florida had a tornado the other morning. You know, and Stan posted, you know, right away. He's like, you know, we're monitoring the conditions to see what's going on. And I guarantee you, I mean, if they were needed, they would do it. They'd be there. And it's just, you know, that's just awesome organization. And, you know, hell, I mean, it's great.
It's definitely something to support because you just never know. Anywhere in the country, something can happen.
Nope.
And it's a great thing to be able to organize those kind of efforts. And me being a person who organizes people, you know, I've been doing it for about 5 years now with large festivals. I did 3 large festivals last year. But the coordination that it takes to make those things happen, that's just a lot of hard work. And you know, I just can't even, and that's just putting it lightly. You know, just
think about that.
You're
trying to get up 5,000 meals in a day.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
it just
takes
a lot of support. You know, from people and teams, and it's but it's something that you know everybody can get behind, and we just figured, you know, here we are. We do contests in Florida, Alabama, and Georgia, and you know, there can be disasters that strike at any time in any of those areas, but we have some teams that would be very much willing to go anywhere in the country should the need arise. But I know that the goal is to organize the efforts of how to approach that disaster. And so that's why we thought, well, it makes sense to be tied with them because if something happens, you know, we can supply the volunteers and they can organize the efforts because they've got that experience now behind them. And we've got teams that have signed up as well besides, you know, at the FBA. And we're definitely on board should, you know, something happen, and we're hoping that it won't, and we contribute because we know that we've got our barbecue brethren who is anywhere in the states because there are people who barbecue in all of the states, and
sure,
should any of those communities need assistance, we definitely want to be supportive of that. So we're very proud of the work that OBR does, and we like to, you know, tell them, you know, how much that we appreciate that by supporting them. So that's why we figured we'd do some fundraisers down here and try to raise additional funds that we can send over to help with supplies and things that they need. And but we're definitely big supporters down here, and we're always so glad to hear when other ones like yourself say that they're supporting the efforts too.
Absolutely. No, I mean, it is. It's a great thing. And so, well, look, I enjoyed it. I'm glad that you called in and you're welcome to call
I'm
in
blessed
anytime.
Too. Well, I
and,
appreciate
I mean,
that. Thank you.
Well, like I said, I mean, we had a good time. I mean, and, you know, the second week in a row, I've ran, hell, I've ran Melvin's
Nair over.
I never
knew I could talk so much.
Yeah.
It's all Daryl's fault. You know, he's always saying, hey, Angel, why don't you call over there? You know, sometimes I forget he does his, you know, his morning show that he does at 9
right.
o'clock. And I'm not thinking because I've been working with him on some projects. And so I call in and says, well, hello, Angela Emerson. Would you like to be on television this morning? And I'm like, oh, gosh, no, not really. But thankfully, it's not visual. It's just, you know, my voice. And
right.
I don't have – my voice is kind of rough, to be honest. It's not easy to listen to. So I have to apologize to your listeners because I do have a rough voice, and I don't know why, but I do. And so when Daryl's like, oh, yeah. And he'll start asking me questions about yesterday's game. And this one time I just happened to see that game that he was talking, the play that he was talking about, because I normally don't watch college ball. And or not a lot of it. My husband does.
Right.
And it's just, so please, you know, don't ask me any surprise questions. I'll talk about barbecue. Don't ask me about college football.
Well,
it's been
I'm probably the best one
on
that
you
either.
So much.
Anytime, like I said, anytime you got anything you want to talk about or come up or anything, even if you can't, I mean, if you can't come on, send me a message and I'll get it out there.
That's
and,
awesome. You're great. Thank you
okay.
so much, Lynn.
All right.
You have a good,
have
one
good
evening.
Evening.
Okay. Bye-bye.
All right, guys. Well, we're going to end this another episode of the West Texas Pitmaster Barbecue Show Sunday night. Barbecue Superstars. Everybody have a good week, and we'll talk to you next Sunday night. Everybody have a good night.